Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I praise you and I worship you and I thank you for the word of the living God. I thank you, Father, that you said in Psalms 138:2 that you have exalted your word above all of your names. And I thank you that in John 10:34 you said the word of God cannot be broken. So, Lord, when I read the word is true and it cannot fail me. So, Lord, I praise you and thank you that you're the King of the universe. And if I read something in your word and it tells me what I can do or I should not do, I need to listen to what you say and stand on it with all my heart. Lord, I praise you for the word of God, which is the most powerful thing in the universe. Now, Lord, as the word goes out today, as we discuss things that bring sickness and disease and other terrible things to us, Lord, just reveal the truth to your people as they hear the word today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today and this week, I'm going to be talking about fear. I have come to realize that there are so many people out there that are living in fear. And these are people in the church, people that should absolutely not have any fear. Now, the Lord told us clearly in His Word that He did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if the Lord didn't give us that spirit of fear, then guess where that spirit comes from? It comes from our enemy, Satan. He is very good at what he does. Now, you know, when we deal with fear, our enemies, fear and worry, when we think about these things, think of the people that worry. I mean, they worry about things they can't change. They worry about where their children are at night. They worry if they're going to have a job next week. They worry about so many things. Now, this is the enemy talking to you, telling you that you cannot do things. Whenever you realize that worry is a sin, you will stop worrying. You'll just trust God for everything, and you'll live in complete peace, and the abundant life that Christ provided will absolutely become a reality in your life. We're always worrying, or we go to the news. You know, we hear of the bad news. Now, I quit listening to the news on radio and television. Very rarely do I ever turn it on. Once in a great while, if I'm doing some kind of a project or something, I might turn the weather on to see what they anticipate the weather's going to be. But I don't even do that very often for the simple reason that there's so much bad news. In fact, that's virtually all they tell you is the bad news. They never tell you good news. Once in a great while, someone will tell you something good that happened. But as a rule, they're looking for bad news. And so we hear so many things. Some people sit around and worry about what they've heard on the radio or the television. And there's not a thing in the world you can do to change it. So why worry about that bad news? You know, so many people get all excited and they're all anxious. They have anxiety in their heart and they go around fretting all the time. You know, and then after they do that, some of those people will feel guilty. You know, they will feel guilty about the things that they worry about. And you'll ask them about it, and they'll say, well, yes, I know I shouldn't worry. I shouldn't have anxiety. I shouldn't be fretting about this, but I just can't help it. But I do feel guilty about that. Or, you know, so many people are going around saying, you know, but what if we do go to war? What if this happens? What if a storm does come by? You know, what if we do not make it in business? Well, it's pretty obvious that Christians that talk like that have never really had a revelation from God's Word to realize that you're to trust the King. And if you will go to church, and if you will tithe, and give God the first 10% of all of your increase, you won't ever have to worry about having enough. He promises in His Word in Malachi 3, verses 7 through 11, that He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you, and He personally will rebuke the devourer for you, which is Satan. So you won't have to be concerned. All you've got to do is do what God says in His Word. Now if so many people today, I hear this, I was in the business world for many, many years, and I worked and I had big projects and I flew big airplanes all over the world as a pilot and an engineer for many years and traveled the world over. And I never worried about anything. I knew that God was in control and that by faith, He and I together, there was no greater power on earth than He and I together. When I could stand on His Word would produce great results for me. But some of the people that I traveled with, especially after the airline that I was flying for went bankrupt over in Europe, and I came back to the States, several of the men that were working, they were stressed out. What are we going to do now? Where are we going to find a job? I said, gee, I'm not stressed out at all. I know the Lord's got something for me. He's going to provide for me extremely well. I came back to the Dallas area with my wife. We flew back on an airplane and brought what little things we had from Germany. And within one day's time when I got back, I called a man. And I used to be a systems technical instructor for Braniff International years ago. And I called this man, and he wanted to know what I was doing. I told him I was without a job. He said, my goodness, American Airlines is in the flight academy where he worked, needed a simulator instructor, and they needed one bad, and said for me to get down there. So I went down there, and the very next day, I had a job. I didn't have any stress. I didn't have any worry, no anxiety. I know my King Jesus is in control. And He promised in His Word to take care of me, to provide for me. So why should I be stressed out? Then after I worked for them about a year, I was offered a job as a regional engineer working on the VP staff for a large corporation to go around this country to build buildings for them, to design equipment for them, to be in charge of their maintenance departments and their buildings and their trucks. And I literally, for the next many, many years, traveled around this country and had a tremendous workload, built buildings, designed equipment, and had a ball. Nothing stressed me out. People would say, Thurman, how can you be so at peace with all the pressure that's being put on you to do all these big jobs? I said, there's no pressure. With my King, all things are possible. I never had any stress, any worry. I knew who the King was. I wasn't going to let the enemy get to me with that stress. And another thing that attacks so many Christian people today in the area of fear, it comes under the topic of fear, is depression. People get depressed. I cannot even imagine a child of God being depressed. If you're a child of the King, you need to realize who you are in Christ. You are a son or a daughter of the King of the universe, and His name is Jesus, and He's in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And greater things than these that He done when He was here shall you do in His name. All you got to do is believe. Now, I realize most Christians I've met are just like I was a few years ago. I didn't know the Word of God. And because I had never studied God's Word, the enemy had deceived me greatly. I didn't have a clue who I was or what I could do. But I still didn't step into the realm of depression. I still knew that my King was taking care of me, but I knew so little about who I was and what I could do. But when I really began to study God's Word and really began to understand who I was in Christ, there was sure enough no such thing as depression could come my way anymore. And then so many people live in the area of rejection. They think, well, I've been rejected from this job, from that job. And they go around and start talking about being rejected. I have a lady and her husband that come to my church on a regular basis. That a few months ago, she come in so rejected, so depressed. For a couple of Sundays, she was really down. She was so afraid she was going to lose her job and all kinds of things, and they wasn't going to be able to meet their bills. I began to tell her who she was. She was royalty. She was a daughter of the king. Her and her husband were tithers. I said, you have nothing to worry about. Absolutely nothing to be depressed about or nothing to be rejected by except worry and the rejection spirit itself. I said, kick that devil out. I said, begin to worship and praise the king and thank him for all the wonderful things he has done for you. I said, and remember, you're a princess in the king's army. I said, so don't be depressed and don't feel rejected. You're royalty. And that lady grabbed a hold of that, and today, I mean, she walks in a love relationship, and she's a powerful woman of God, along with her husband. He's a very, very wonderful, powerful man of God, and they're walking in great love with the king. The enemy is having a whole lot more problem with them than he was. Praise the Lord. And there's so many people that live in confusion. When I think about the confusion, God is not the author of confusion. But, you know, he knows what he's doing. All we need to do is, Christians, said, pray and stand on God's word. Quote him his word to him. Stand on his word and believe what his word says is true. And nothing can confuse you. That spirit of confusion will have to leave and everything will come together. And you will be absolutely as solid as a rock. Now then, whenever people start getting into the area of worry and area of fear, it will bring on ulcers. It'll bring sickness and disease. So whatever you do, you don't want to get into the area of worry or fear or unforgiveness, because it will bring ulcers, and then it will start making you sick. Well, we're going to have to continue the teaching tomorrow. We've already extended today. I'd like to invite you to our church at the Living Savior at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We have church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. You go up 35E to Walnut Hill, go east on Walnut Hill, four blocks to Shady Trail, turn right. We're about 300 yards down on the right. Also invite you to call me for audio and video tapes on our teachings at 940-242-2106. I'd also like to invite you to our healing school. We have a healing school at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas, the second Saturday of every month. And we have one at in Justin, Texas, the fourth Saturday of every month. So we have two healing schools a month. Come to either one of them. We would love to teach you about God's Word and how to walk in divine health. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you and praise you for your Word. Your Word that tells us how to live healthy and long life. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you're the King, and we thank you for this beautiful book that can never be changed and tells us as an owner's manual everything we can do, who we are, and what we can do as sons and daughters of the King. Lord, as we talk about these things this week, I ask you to reveal to your church, to your believers, the Word of the living God. And Lord, those that are not believers, ask you to reveal yourself to them so that many people will come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Father, I claim every person's soul, their spirit, soul, and body that's listening to this radio today in the name of Jesus. And my prayer is that everyone will get saved. And those that are already saved will get healed. And those that are lost would get healed from their problems. So in Jesus' name, we thank you for the word. Amen. Now we're talking about the subject of fear this week and all the things or some of the things that it will bring to you. Now yesterday we stopped with ulcers. One of the things I've learned that whenever you live in the realm of fear, you will get into a state of unforgiveness towards someone for something, and when you do, it will put you into a state of fear, whether you know it or not, and that fear, along with the unforgiveness, will start bringing sickness and disease into your physical body. As long as you walk in obedience to God's word, you walk in a love relationship, and you walk in a state of forgiveness, you walk in the word, and if you learn God's word and learn what you can do by faith, you won't ever have to worry about being sick again, ever, because Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease on the cross 2,000 years ago. He told us that clearly in Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:16-17, and 1 Peter 2:24. He's just such an awesome God. What he did for us is just absolutely wonderful. But I want to tell you a little story about a man that I met about 8 years ago. That when I met him, he had problems eating things. When I met him, we had sat down to have dinner together or something, and he had to be very, very careful what he ate. And I asked him one day, I says, "Do you have a grudge or unforgiveness towards someone?" And he said, "Why would you ask?" I said, "Because it brings ulcers. And since you have to be so careful what you eat, and you told me you have ulcers," I said, "I just figure you have unforgiveness towards someone." He said, "Well, I do have a couple of people that I have a grudge against." And I said, "Let me tell you something." I said, "Are you a born-again Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Do you go to church?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Good. You know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Okay, good." I said, "Go home and ask the Lord to forgive you for holding a grudge against these men." I said, "Then go to those two men and ask them to forgive you. Tell them that you've held a grudge against them. Tell them what for. Ask them to forgive you and tell them that you forgive them. And y'all start walking in a love relationship." I said, "If you will, I guarantee your ulcers will go away." And the man went home and read the Word of God where I told him to read about these things. And lo and behold, it was only a very few months, even without prayer, by walking back into a love relationship with all people, the enemy had to leave, and the man was completely healed of his ulcers. I still know that man today, 7 or 8 years later, and he's still totally, completely healed and walking well before the Lord. So see, ulcers are caused by your actions. It's a spiritual problem. But then again, all sickness and disease is a spiritual problem. Now, God wanted you healed so bad that when he made you, he put healing power in you. In other words, if you cut your hand, you burn your hand or something like people will do, all you got to do is keep a cut clean. It will automatically heal itself. If you burn yourself somewhere, unless it's an extremely bad burn where you have to maybe keep it anointed with some kind of oil or something, but if you'll just take care of it and keep it clean, it will heal itself. So God wanted his children to walk healed. He knew what we were going to do, so he built us with a healing system internally in the body so the body will restore itself. Now, we don't have any major problems with healing until the enemy gets involved, which is Satan and his demons. Now, Satan comes by, and he really messes us up, and he really causes us to get hurt severely. He really puts sickness and disease upon us. He causes us to get into an area of unforgiveness towards someone, and then that takes you out of fellowship with God. And he knows that now God's not going to hear your prayer because you're walking in sin. You're walking in unforgiveness, and since you're not forgiving those, the Lord cannot forgive you. So when you sin, you've got a problem. So you open the door to the enemy, and Satan comes in to torment you, to kill, steal, and to destroy. So it pays great dividends to walk in love. When you walk in love, you can walk in faith, because the Word of God says in Galatians 5:6, that your faith worketh by love. So if you're not walking in a love relationship, your faith will not work. If there's some kind of a sin in your heart, anytime you try to pray the prayer of faith, you cannot, because your heart will condemn you, and you cannot get your prayers answered. So whatever you do, walk in love, walk in obedience to God's word, then you won't have to be concerned about ulcers or sickness and disease. There is another little item here that comes with fear. When fear comes into people, when people begin to live in the realm of fear, that suicide demon comes upon people. I hear so many people, even Christians, that say, you know, my son committed suicide, or my son or my daughter is thinking about it. They've talked to me about it. They just want to die. Those people have never learned who they are. They have listened to the enemy and not to God's word. Because when you listen to God's word, you learn who you are in Christ and the power you have over the enemy. If a demon comes, that suicide demon comes to you to try to cause you to commit suicide, you will laugh at him and drive him away in the name of Jesus. You don't have to be afraid of a suicide demon. You don't have to be afraid of any demon, because Jesus completely whipped the devil for you and me 2,000 years ago. In 1 John 3:8 it says, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 2:14 it says, he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So if Jesus destroyed him, then in Colossians 2:15 says he disarmed Satan and triumphed over him completely in it, the cross. And then he turned to us in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, and said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, it's a shame that there's not very many people in the church that believe God's word. But it's time we start believing the word of God. Now, Jesus said in Mark 16, 17 and 18, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons or devils. Now, we can cast out Satan. So if he comes to torment you, you speak to him and command him to leave in the name of Jesus, and he has to go away. And then the Lord even goes so far to say that we will even be able to speak in new tongues. He said we shall handle the serpent, which is Satan. And if we drink anything deadly, it will not hurt us at all. And we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, didn't he make that difficult? So, as long as you're walking in obedience to his word, and your heart does not condemn you because you have all your sins confessed, you should be able, by faith, to lay your hands on any sick person and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, and should be able to get them healed. God made the provisions for you. Now, some people say, well, I'll try that. No, I didn't tell you to try it. I said to do it, because God is a faith God. And if you don't do it according to his word, the enemy will stand between you and God, and he will block your prayer. And he will laugh at you. He will laugh in the face of God at God's stupid little sheep, because we don't believe his word. Well, folks, I think it's time we stop letting the enemy laugh at us. I think it's time we start taking God's word and walking in obedience to it, kicking the devil out, walking in love, and seeing our King do great and mighty things. I've had the privilege to see him do hundreds and hundreds of mighty answers to prayer. I mean, mighty answers to prayer. He is an awesome God. Now then, you can get rid of that suicide demon real easy. All you got to do is learn who you are in Christ and drive him away with it is written. Let me talk here about some of the main types of fear that I've heard people that are concerned about today, that most people, even in the church, have a fear of dying. The fear of death. I say, oh, I'm just afraid I'm going to die at a young age. I'm afraid cancer is going to come up on me and kill me. Well, let me tell you, with that kind of faith in cancer and sickness and disease, you're opening a door to the devil. And he's going to come in and he's going to shorten your life. He will oblige you because you're killing yourself with your own mouth. That's why the Lord said over in Proverbs that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And every person shall eat the fruit of their tongue. Be careful what you say. Learn God's word. And as you learn God's word, you'll have no fear of dying. You'll know that the Lord is going to satisfy you with a long life on the earth. He's going to satisfy you with a healthy life. You're going to claim his promises. In fact, you can go back and claim Psalms 91, and you should read that over yourself and your children every day as a man or a woman. You need not have any fear of dying or anything, because in Psalms 91, the last verse, the Lord says, "And I shall satisfy them with long life and show them my salvation." So don't have any fear. We've come to the end of another day. We'll continue this teaching tomorrow on fear. We'd like to invite you to call us 940-242-2106 for audio and video tapes of our teachings. We have many. We'd love to send you a box of tapes, audio and videos. Also like to invite you out to our church, the Living Savior, every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Also, like to invite you to contact me on the web. Send me an email or with an address for audio and video tapes. Our email is, our website is www.tlsm.org. And there you can send us an email. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we worship you, we praise you, and we thank you that you're the King of the universe, Lord. We can just raise our hands and worship you and praise you and thank you for what you did through your Son Jesus on that cross. How our King came and defeated the enemy totally, completely, and give us all the promises in the Word of God that we're sons of God, that we're more than conquerors through Christ, that we're saved, healed, delivered, made whole, and everything is ours. Everything that belonged to Jesus belongs to us, and that we can do the same things Jesus did when he was here, because you said we could in John 14:12. And, Father, we are so grateful to be sons and daughters of the King, and we're so grateful that it gives you such great pleasure to give us, your children, the kingdom. So, Lord, thank you for the kingdom, and thank you, Lord, for giving us revelation on it. In Jesus' name, amen. This week we're talking about what happens to us through fear. I see so many Christians living in fear. It's amazing that God told us in his word that he did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yet so many Christians are living in fear. Now, yesterday we were beginning to talk about the fear of death. People today, even in the church, have a fear of dying. Well, you shouldn't have a fear of dying. You should know that if you're walking in obedience to God's word and you claim his promises, he promised you he would satisfy you with long life. And if you claim all the things that belong to you as a child of God, when you literally read Psalms 91, which is in the old covenant, the old law, when you read that promise that was made, he guarantees if you will make him, the Most High God, your dwelling place, and then you will learn to say that the Lord is my refuge and my strength, in him will I trust. If you'll say that with your mouth and believe it with your heart and not be ashamed of the King, that no sickness, no plague, no destruction, no devastating things can come near you or your house. That is a great and awesome promise from the King of the universe. I am so grateful that I'm serving the King, knowing that He sends His angels and gives them charge over me to protect me and keep me from all forms of evil, to protect me so I won't even dash my foot against a stone. I'm so grateful for those promises. But yet then I come to the New Testament, and He gives me many, many more promises, because I have a better covenant with the King now, which is founded on better promises. But you have to learn what those are, and you have to learn to claim those. And I've come to realize that most of the church has never learned that. They think they're just here, they have no power, and they're just passing through on the earth. What a shame that people won't get in God's Word. But many Christians have a fear of dying. But we shouldn't. We should have no fear of dying. We should know that our King is going to provide for us in a great and mighty way, protect us, satisfy us with long, healthy life. And then one day, when we're old, He will bring us home. He will take away our breath, just like He said in the Psalms, and He will bring us home. And we do not have to be sick as children of the King. So you should absolutely have no fear of dying. When you die at an old age, you're going to get to graduate. You're going to get to go home to be with the King of the universe. And His name isn't Jesus. So don't let that fear of death bother you at all. Then many people today have fear of sickness. They say, what am I going to do if I come down with sickness or cancer or whatever? Well, if you keep talking like that, you will come down with it. Because with your own tongue, you're calling a demon to you to make you sick and afflict you. So whatever you do, don't do that. Quote God's Word. Jesus said in His Word, in Isaiah 53:4-5, that not only was He going to bear your griefs and your pains, your sin, and all those things, but He was going to bear and remove your sickness. So He says, with My stripes you are healed. Now, when I went to school, that was past tense. If I am healed, I am healed. And if I claim that by faith, with all my sins confessed, it cannot fail me, because God made me the promise. It absolutely cannot fail. I have to believe it. But that's not difficult. If God said it, that's good enough for me. I should be able to stand on it. But we come over to the New Testament, and the Apostle Matthew, he said in chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, that when evening had come, Jesus went about casting out the demons and healing all the sick, to fulfill what was written by Isaiah the prophet, back over there in Isaiah 53:4-5, that Himself, Jesus, bore mine and your sickness and removed our disease. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, He says, with His stripes you were healed. So all you got to do is walk in obedience to God's Word, study His Word, believe what is written, and stand on it, and you'll be just like me. You won't never have to go to a doctor again. You won't ever have to have any sickness and disease again. I was raised up in a traditional church and all of my life, and for the first 40 years of my life, I didn't know these things because I didn't read the Word enough. I read a lot, but I didn't read enough, and my church didn't teach me these things. But when I finally got a hold of it, praise the Lord, and begin to claim these mighty promises by faith in God's Word, the last 16 or 17 years or something like that, I've not had one day of sickness and disease. And it's absolutely magnificently wonderful to be 64 years old and be in as good a health as I've ever been in my life, to be able to work at many hours a day, to do all the things I want to do, to go minister to people, get people healed and saved on a regular basis. It's so much fun serving the King. When you believe His Word, you have no fear of anything. Praise the Lord Jesus. So don't have any fear of sickness. Your sickness was paid for by the King, Jesus, on the cross 2,000 years ago. He said it was, so all you've got to do is believe it and quote it to the enemy, and you don't have to be sick anymore. But what happens to most people? As soon as the enemy comes upon them and puts a symptom upon you, you begin to feel bad. The first thing you do, instead of rebuke the enemy and stand on God's word, the first thing you do will start telling people, I don't feel well. I feel sick. When you do, you're opening a door to the enemy for him to continue to make you sick. And then you go to the doctor. And the doctor gives you a bad report. Well, Isaiah 53:1 and Romans 8:16 says, who has believed the report of the Lord? And I'm telling you, most people were just like I am for many years. They didn't believe the report of the Lord. I didn't know what the report of the Lord was. So how am I going to receive something by faith that I don't know is mine? But when I begin to read this book, oh, praise the Lord, when I begin to read this book, and I begin to learn all these magnificent promises that the King put in this book, and realize that these promises are for me today, for you today, as a born-again Christian, as a saved person, praise God. Then you can stand on His mighty promises. You can come to the King on behalf of His word and pray and praise Him and thank Him for the answer and see Him do great and mighty things. It is so much fun serving the King when you learn how to reign with the Lord, like Romans 5:17 says, on the earth. It is so much fun. So whatever you do, don't have any fear of sickness. It's been paid for on the cross. Then there's so many people in the church that has a fear of failure. They start out in life all rattled, saying, oh my goodness, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. I have such a fear of failing at what I'm going at. Well, with that kind of an attitude, you probably will be a failure. But you need to quote God's word to Him. Say, Lord, I'm going in business. I'm going to start a place of business. You said if I'll go to church and tithe, that you'll bless everything I put my hands to. So, Lord, I claim that by faith. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to serve You. I'm going to make You my God, my Lord, my healer, my deliverer, my provider. I'm going to make You my dwelling place, and I'm going to trust You that You're going to make my new business just blossom, Lord. And I want to be a blessing to people in my business. So, Lord, as I serve You in my business, I want to be a blessing to You, and I want to thank You for being a blessing to me. So don't even entertain the thought of failure. Ask the Lord. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus for everything you do in your business. Ask Him how to do everything. Ask Him who to go to, what kind of counsel to seek. Everything. Don't do anything without inquiring of the Lord. He wants you to have an intimate relationship with Him. He wants to show you what to do. He will tell you what to do. Just like the other night, I was trying to figure out how I was going to do a special project, a big project. And I just thought and thought and thought. And I finally, before I went to bed that night, I said, Lord, would You please reveal to me how I can do this and make this work perfect? I woke up in the middle of the night. The Lord had revealed to me how to do that project. And it was so simple. I praise Him for the privilege to inquire of Him for everything. He is such a great and mighty God. He will reveal things to you in dreams and visions. So whatever you do, don't have any fear of failure. The Lord promised, I come to give you life and give it to you abundantly, not for you to fail. Those kind of thoughts always come from the enemy. So if any kind of a thought of failure or any of these things we've talked about here, about death, sickness, failure, or rejection, if any of these thoughts come to you, they're coming to you from the enemy and not God, and you need to rebuke the enemy and command those spirits to get away from you in the name of Jesus, and they will leave you, and then you can walk in the abundant life. Praise the Lord. But we'll continue tomorrow. I'd like to invite you to call me at 940 242-2106 for audio and video tapes of my teaching. Also, I'd like to invite you to our church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. every Sunday afternoon until 4 p.m. And we have a wonderful time praising and teaching the Word of God and having testimonies and seeing our King do great and mighty things in our church. Also, I'd like to invite you to our healing school the second Saturday of every month. It's at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m. the second Saturday of every month. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. The King is alive, and I want to just praise Him and worship Him and thank Him right now for a few minutes, for He is the King, the Lord of gods, the Lord of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Jesus, we worship You. We praise You and thank You for what You did on that cross for us 2,000 years ago and how You defeated the enemy totally, completely, and gave us back everything that we lost in the fall and more. We worship You and we praise You and thank You for these mighty things. Now, as the word goes out today, Lord, reveal it to Your people as we continue to talk about the subject of fear this week and how it affects us as human beings. Lord, give us revelation to realize that You did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of joy and a sound mind. Now, thank You, Father, for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to continue to talk about fear a little bit more today. There is so many different forms of fear. These things range from claustrophobia. I think about the people, grown men and women, that are Christians, that can't even get in a closet and close the door without stepping into the realm of fear. Some of those people get hysterical when they step into these different things. Like, for instance, I used to work with a man as an automobile mechanic when I was a young man years and years and years ago. And this guy, you couldn't put him in the trunk of a car and shut the trunk down on that thing. He would literally kick the back seat out of that car. I never saw anything like it. People live in the realms of fear. What have you have to fear? Nothing but fear itself. If you're back there and they shut the trunk, no big deal. You know, you're still there. You're safe. Nothing's going to hurt you in there. It's all in your mind. People have fear of heights. In fact, I was going to put a bub in a streetlight pole years ago when I was working for a company, and we didn't have a high lift. So we had a high lift truck, and I had a ladder to put on top of it, and I thought, well, I'll just raise this truck up. This truck will go up 15, 16, 18 feet, and then I'll be on top of the truck. I'll just put a ladder on top of the truck, and the pole was 30 foot tall, and I'll just lean the ladder up against the top of the pole from the top of the truck, and I'll get the guy to hold it for me, and I'll climb up there and change the bump. Well, we started up, and the young man that was with me, we got up about 8 feet off the ground, and he started trembling. And we're sitting on a big, flat platform of a truck. And I said, son, are you afraid? He said, yes, I'm so afraid of heights. I said, let me let this truck back down, and let me let you go back and do something else, because I certainly don't want you on top of a truck with a ladder holding it, and I'm going to be up on that ladder. I said, you'll pull me off of there and make me fall. And so I let the truck back down, went and got a young man that used to climb highline poles. He wasn't afraid of any kind of heights. And I brought him out there, and he held the ladder for me. We got up on top of that truck, and I climbed the pole and changed the bulb in the light. And it was absolutely no problem. But some people have such great fear of heights. And some people have great fear of animals, you know, like a cat, or a fear of going outside at night. Those spirits of fear, if you have one of those, that is called in the Word of God the spirit of fear, and it comes from the enemy. Now, somewhere along in your life, you became afraid of something And as you really stepped into the realm of fear, you opened the door and a demon of fear came into your life. Now then, all you got to do is repent of that, because God did not give you that. When you repent of being afraid, then command in the name of Jesus for that spirit of fear to leave you. And he has to leave you. And then you don't have to be afraid of anything. You can walk absolutely in no fear. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, fear and torment go together. People that live in fear live in torment. I can only imagine the fun that the enemy, the devil, must have with the church. When we learn who we are, we can drive him away. He has no power over us whatsoever. Our King completely defeated Satan on a cross 2,000 years ago. So when the enemy comes to you to try to torment you with anything, sickness and disease, fear, any of these things we've talked about this week, rebuke him and command him to get his hands off of you in the name of Jesus. Now then, it would be very helpful if you would hide God's word in your heart. Find these mighty scriptures that guarantee you have power over the enemy and that he must be subject to you in the name of Jesus. Get scriptures like 1 John 3:8, Hebrews 2:14, Colossians 2:15, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. When you get those kind of verses hidden in your heart, this enemy, fear, will have to go away from you. Now then, fear, absolutely, is such a powerful force, it will kill you. This is opposite of faith. Faith will bring life to your physical body, whereas fear is a killer. Now, the spirit of faith is equal to a spiritual force, and the spirit of fear is equal to a spiritual force. Both of those are spiritual beings. Now then, fear, the Lord says in his word, he has not given us the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Now fear is a spiritual force that comes out of the spiritual realm and attacks mind and your mind. Now it can kill you. Fear can kill you. Emmer's heart cells are destroyed by the body's reaction to fear. Now this is now a confirmed fact. Absolutely, medical men and their tests have absolutely confirmed that cells in your body are destroyed, especially heart cells, are destroyed by the body's reaction to fear. So when people step off into that, there is cells in your heart that begins to die. So what that's doing, you have absolutely invited the spirit of death into your physical body, and the spirit of death begins a killing process that's killing your physical body. Now then, stressed, caused by fear, can produce very lethal changes in the heart muscle, and it can even cause death. Isn't that amazing that even people in Mayo Clinic have made statements that they said that fear attacks the heart, the circulation system, the glands, and all parts of your health is affected by fear. Now, who would ever dream that when you step into the realm of fear, it can do such awesome things? Now then, in the Word of God, there is a tremendous example of this in 1 Samuel 25. Now, I'm going to read that to you. Now, here in 1 Samuel 25, verse 37, the Word of God declares that Nabal died of fear when he heard about the visit of David. It said, so it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal and his wife had told him these things that his heart died within him and he became like a stone. Now, isn't that amazing? Just because of fear of David's visit. Now then, if his wife hadn't went out and said what she did and found David, truly David had come to kill Nabal and all of his house. So when he heard what had happened, literally fear came into his heart and the man died. His heart became like stone. So fear does terrible things to the human body. Now then, fear anticipates the worst and not the best. Fear always goes on to say that, what if? What if I can't pay the bills this month? Oh, my goodness gracious, what am I going to do if my job plays out and I can't pay the bills this month? They'll throw me out in the street. But you've got a good job and you're a very productive person. Why should you let that bother you? But literally people cause stress and they cause their heart muscles to fail in their body because of fear of what if. What if I get sick? I won't be able to meet my needs. Oh my goodness. There's so many what ifs. What if I lose my job? Well, if you keep talking like that, you're probably going to lose your job. But if you do a good job for the company you work for, and you realize that you're working for the King, Jesus, and not the company, and the King is your provider, then you would be like a man. I heard a preacher here a while back said a man came into his office and said, I've heard you teaching and preaching on prosperity and all these things, so I want you to pray that I'll get a better job and make more money. He said, great. Sit down here and let's come before the King. So the pastor prayed a beautiful prayer, asking the Father in the name of Jesus to give this man an increase in pay. Well, within a week, the man came back in fussing at the pastor, and he said, I asked you to pray for an increase in salary, and I got fired today. He said, what's this all about? Well, the pastor says, my goodness, how are you going to get an increase in pay unless you get a better job? So just trust God. So the man went from being angry and in fear to worshiping and praising the Lord. And within a week, he had another job that paid almost twice the money the other one did. And it was working the exact hours he wanted to work with weekends off. And everything worked out perfect for that man. See, all you've got to do is stay out of fear. Praise the Lord. Thank him for his word. Stand on his word, and he's always there for your benefit. He's there to help you and not hurt you when you pray. So lean not on your own understanding, but trust the Lord, and he will do great and wonderful things for you. I'd like to invite you to call me for audio and video tapes of these teachings. We do many teachings. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We're at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. You go up 35E from Dallas until you get to Walnut Hill. And then turn right on Walnut Hill and go four blocks, and you come to Shady Trail. You turn right on Shady Trail, and we're about 300 yards down on the right. We start at 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our mighty, wonderful Heavenly Father through our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you and we praise you and thank you because you are the King of Kings and you're our King. Father, we praise you and thank you for Jesus that came to this earth to show us what we could do and who we were, how we should live, and he came as an example for us to follow. because he told us that in 1 Peter 2:21. We are so grateful for his example of perfection and holiness, that if we will do the same things he did, we will do what he did while we are here on this earth. Lord, help us to walk in that. And we praise you and thank you for giving us revelation and wisdom. Thank you that everything that you gave and made available to Jesus is available to us. Now bless the word as it goes out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We're still talking about fear. This fear problem is a big problem in the church today. So many people live in fear. That's just like I walked into the grocery store the other day with my granddaughter. I had picked her up. She's 5 years old now. And I picked her up and put her in the basket. And I was going around buying some groceries. And a lady that goes to church out here in a local church that I know quite well, I've known her and her husband and family for years, she walked up and she said, "How's Caitlin?" I said, "Well, here she is. She's doing wonderfully well." I said, "Didn't the Lord do a beautiful, wonderful job on her?" She said, "Thurman, I don't see how you do it." She said, "If that had been my grandbaby, I would have lost her. There's no way I could have brought her back from the dead like you did." I said, "Well, I just stood on God's word with no fear or no doubt in my heart." I said, "After all, he's God and he made the promises. If I can't trust his word, I have a real problem." She said, "I know it." But she said, "I just couldn't have done it." Well, that was her problem. She didn't believe God's word. She believed that she couldn't do it. So the fear had crept in on her. And she's not believing God's mighty word. Now, what a shame that so much of the church today lives in that realm of fear. We will not take the time to spend in the intimate relationship with our King, to study his word, for him to give us the revelation that comes through the mighty word of the living God. When you wake up praising the King, you go to bed praising the King, you wake up in the middle of the night praising him, telling him how much you love him, and you're being intimate with him, he will just come all over you and flood you with himself. He loves for us to be intimate with him because he wants to be intimate with us. And I praise him for the privilege to serve him and to be one of his sons, and to think that he gave me this owner's manual, the word, which guarantees me that I can do all things because I have the mind of Christ. Nothing shall be impossible with me, the Lord says, because you're my son, and you put me, the Most High God, first in your life. So why should we as sons and daughters of the King walk in fear? Now then, I'm going to tell you that if you walk in fear, fear releases the devil's power in your life. Now then, the devil loves to operate through fear. Oh, how he must laugh at us, the church. John 10:10 makes us an awesome statement. John 10:10 says, "The thief, which is Satan, comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly." Now, which one of those two realms do you want to live in? Anybody in their right mind would choose the second part, the great and abundant life that the King has provided. But it's so unfortunate that many people don't live there, people that are in the church. They live in fear. They live in fear of sickness. They live in fear of disease. They live in fear of losing their jobs. They live in all kinds of fear, and that fear invites the enemy in, and he comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So this door that we leave open through fear allows Satan to come in and do a terrible, devastating thing to us as children of the King. Now, have you ever stopped to think about it? And my poor mother, although she was a wonderful woman of God, bless her heart, she lived in a state of worry and fear so much. She never learned how to conquer that. But our worst misfortunes or fears usually never happen. We should not have fear or worry, because most of our torments and miseries come from anticipating what might happen. Many times, most of the time, it does not happen at all. You hear people just say, oh my goodness, what if I don't pass my final test at school? I won't graduate this year. Well, don't be in that realm of fear. All you got to do is study, and you won't have to be concerned. You know you'll pass the test. Begin to say, Lord, thank you that you're my Lord and my God. I have the mind of Christ. I'm going to study hard. I know you're going to give me great and wonderful revelation how to pass these tests, and I'm going to be a straight-A student, Father, in Jesus' name. And if you begin to confess that, you will be amazed at what you can do. So whatever you do, don't get over into fear and begin to worry, because they that are in great fear where no fear was, there they are in great fear where no fear was. And that's written in Psalms 53:5. Why do we get off into that? People just worry. They just don't know who their king is. They don't know what he has provided. Now, as we fear, we allow what we don't want to happen to be manifested. Because you are opening a door to the enemy, and you will allow into your life these bad things to happen because we are operating in fear as the opposite of faith. If we operate in fear, we are opening our lives or the doors of our lives to the very things we don't want to happen. We are bringing this reality into being by our worry and our fear. Now then, don't open that door. Don't walk in worry and fear. Now, fear comes from ignorance or lack of knowledge of God's Word. Now then, that is confirmed in the Word of God in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. In Hosea 4, 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then the second part of that verse says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject your children. Now, folks, that is a very devastating thought when you think about that. So whatever you do, don't live in the area of the lack of knowledge. People say, but Thurman, I don't know the Word of God like you do. Well, get over it. I didn't know the Word of God either 20, 25 years ago. And whenever I began to realize I didn't know anything about God's Word, I began to study God's Word. But that's just like the day I walked into the classroom to become an engineer. When I began to study, I realized how little I knew. But as I consumed the books and the manuals, begin to read and learn and ask those professors many questions. Some of those were tough questions. Some of them had to go out and find my answers for me. Some of them didn't have the answer till the next day. But I caused them to study. I had one professor tell me, he said, I am so glad this semester's over and you're out of this class. I said, why, sir? He said, because I've had to do more studying than I've ever done in my life. He said, you ask the most complex questions of any human being I've ever had come through this class. He said, well, really, it was good for me, because with no one asking those questions, I wouldn't go and do the digging I needed to do. But he said, you caused me to learn a great deal about this subject myself. I said, well, praise the Lord. I didn't know I was causing you to do that, sir. I just had questions, and I wanted answers. And he said, son, you keep asking those questions, and you'll go a long ways in life. Well, that's what I come to do, to learn. When I went to school, I went there to learn. And praise God, those guys that are teaching it are supposed to have all the answers. So I didn't hesitate to ask them. So, you know, from a lack of knowledge, God's people perish. Well, I didn't want to get into a career field and get out there and not have the answers. I wanted to know what I was talking about. And that wasn't near as important as knowing God's Word. The devil don't care what you do in the world, in the physical world, but he cares what you do in the spiritual realm. So he will destroy you at a young age, more than likely, if you do not learn God's word and who you are. He will put this fear upon you. Now, fear operates by the same spiritual laws as faith operates, but it operates in reverse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, Hebrews 11:1 makes that statement. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, fear is the substance of things not hoped for. So, as we fear, the things we don't want to happen are brought into manifestation and are given substance in our life because we are operating a counter force to faith. Now, if we are operating in fear, we are actually bringing this reality into our life because fear is most definitely a spiritual force. Now, fear is actually a spirit. For the Word of God in 2 Timothy 1:7. Now, I've made this statement several times in this last week about this, but this statement that I've made several times is found in 2 Timothy 1:7. For the Lord told us in 2 Timothy 1:7, says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind." So, if God has not given us a spirit of fear, then there is a spirit of fear. And guess who that comes from? The enemy. So, don't receive it from him. You have power and authority over the spirit of fear. Just rebuke him in the name of Jesus and command that spirit of fear to get out of your house, because you are a son or a daughter of the King of the universe. And Satan can do absolutely nothing to you that you don't give him the right to do with your tongue. So remember who you are in Christ. We've come to the end of the day. I'd like to invite you to call me for audio and video tapes at 940-242-2106. Also, I'd like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We're located at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle for you. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you. We praise you and we thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. Lord, we just thank you for the word of the living God that you have exalted or magnified above all your names, according to Psalms 138:2. Lord, I praise you for your word. I praise you that you're God and that your word cannot be broken. Whatever you said in that book, it is forever settled. It cannot be changed. And Lord, if we can believe your word, we can see you do great and mighty things. And Lord, if we will walk holy before you, there's nothing we cannot receive from you, because you are our Lord and our God, and we worship you and praise you and thank you. As the word goes out today now, Lord, I ask you to bless it and give people knowledge and wisdom from your mighty word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this week, we're going to continue to talk about fear and what fear does to us. Now, the first thing you need to know about fear is a spirit. Fear is not just something that happens. It is a personality without a human body. It is a spirit that comes from the forces of darkness, from hell itself. It is sent to you by Satan to get you to fear. Because the Lord says in his word, "I did not give you a spirit of fear." Now, he said this for you in 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love, and of a sound mind. So if you become afraid of different things, if you have a fear that comes upon you, that fear will overtake you and it will destroy you. Now, fear is developed by meditating on the lies of the devil. Now, the devil will cause you to worry, to have anxiety. In other words, the lies of the devil, he will cause you to worry about something that's not even going to happen. In other words, you'll be worrying about, am I going to make enough money this month to make my car payment? Oh, I went out and bought me a car. And now you can't enjoy the car because you're worrying about being able to make the car payments. What if I lose my job? Or what if I were to come down sick? I never thought about this. If I were to come down sick, what would I do? How would I make the payments? I would lose my new car. You know, worry or fear is a spiritual force that can make negative things happen when they would normally not have happened. As you start worrying about things and you start having fear about things, it can bring things to pass, because what you're doing, you're opening the door to a spiritual force that already desires to have you. Now then, if you go back to Job chapter 3, I learned this lesson years ago. Years ago, I was sitting there one night reading the Word of God, and I was reading about all the devastating things that came upon and happened to the man Job. I mean, this man, he had devastating things happen to him. Number one, he lost all 10 of his children in a tornado or a high wind. A high wind came upon his children's home and blew down the columns that held it up, and it fell in on top of all 10 of the children and killed all of Job's adult children. And then fire from heaven, lightning, which come from the devil, came down and destroyed and burned up all of his crops. And then thieves came in from all around the country and stole all of his animals. Now, Job went from the wealthiest man in the country to nothing in one day. What brought that on? The Word of God clearly says in Job chapter 3, it says that, "For the things I greatly feared have come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me." Now think about what Job did there. Job had been thinking and meditating on these things, fearing that these things were going to happen, and it literally opened a door to the demonic world for Satan and his demons to come in and cause these devastating things to happen to him and his family. Now, when I read this, when I read this years ago, I decided, I am not going to open that door to the devil. With my wife and my children, I'm absolutely going to walk in complete peace with absolutely no fear in my heart. Now, fear can absolutely bring things to pass that would never have come to pass. But as you meditated on those things, they came to pass. If you want to meditate on something, do what Philippians chapter 4 says. Meditate and think on things that are good, holy, pure, clean, morally excellent. And if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Don't go around meditating on things that can destroy you or kill you, because they certainly will do that. Great fear can bring something to pass that would have never happened. So fear is a spiritual force that comes upon you, and I'm telling you, God hates that spiritual force of fear. Now then, I have known, in fact, I have talked to doctors. I spend lots of time in hospitals and ministering to people. I go there to many hospitals and minister to the sick, pray for the sick, and so forth, men, women, boys, and girls, and I see the Lord do great and mighty wonderful things in the area of healing. He is an awesome God. If you've never done it, you should start doing it. You should start going, especially when you know people that have children or themselves are in a hospital, sick or afflicted. You should go and tell them about Jesus, the healer. He is the healer. His word is full of healing verses. It's in absolutely every single book. Every book of the Bible has many places where the Lord talks about Him being the healer and what He's willing to do for us. Or it has a scripture that will guarantee you can receive healing from the Lord. It just amazes me how that so many people never read their Bible, so therefore they do not know these wonderful things. Now, I have seen and talked to several doctors in my life that have been involved with certain things whenever an epidemic or something would come up on a given area. For instance, one time I was talking, I knew of a doctor that had been in an area where cholera came up on an area, and they found a couple of people that came in that did die with cholera, and of course the scare got out. And when it was all over, when the scare finally passed that area, 125 people had died, and everybody thought this was cholera. But in the autopsies, only 5 of them died with cholera. The rest of them died of fear. Can you imagine that? But the Word of God says men's hearts shall fail them because of fear. Fear will absolutely bring death to your house. In other words, when people get off into the state of worrying, worry, let's put it like this, worry is absolutely the interest paid on trouble before it is due. It doesn't do any good to worry. I mean, if it hasn't come to pass yet, why even be concerned about it? You know, there's definitely no use to worry about it. If you know about it, then do something about it. But don't worry, because what you'll do, you'll bring yourself down and make yourself sick, and you'll wind up in the hospital yourself. And the second reason you don't want to get into the realm of fear and worry, because fear and worry are both a sin. Now, God says in His Word, in Romans 14:23, that whatever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if it's not of faith or according to the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is faith. If you cannot quote scriptures, you do not have any faith. Now, people will tell you that that's not true. But you have to go by what the Word says instead of what they say. The Lord says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing God's Word. Now, if faith comes by hearing God's Word, then in Habakkuk chapter 2 and Romans chapter 1 and Galatians chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 6, the scriptures all say that the just, which is us, those that are believers in Jesus Christ, those that have been justified just as if they had never sinned by the blood of Jesus, it says the just shall live by faith. So we shall live by faith, and Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing God's word, then the just shall live by the word of God. So if you don't know the word of God, you don't have memory, scriptures committed to memory, you have no faith. It's just that simple. So if you want to have great faith, hide many verses of God's word in your heart. Walk in obedience to His word and hide these mighty promises in your heart, and then you won't step off into the realm of fear or worry, because fear and worry are both a sin. Now then, Jesus speaks of worry many times in the book of Matthew, especially in chapter 6. He says we are not to worry. Absolutely not to get off into that realm of worry. Because the very first evil force to grip Adam after the fall was fear. It's absolutely ingrained in all of creation. Adam said over there in Genesis, so he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now then, fear started right there. If you have nothing to be concerned about when Daddy walks on the scene, then there's no fear. But if you know you've done something wrong, fear always grips your heart. We'll continue tomorrow. I invite you to call me for audio tapes. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. I'd also like to invite you to our church, the Living Savior Church, at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. And we're on 10921 Shady Trail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, we are so grateful that you're our Lord and our God. We praise you and worship you and thank you for this beautiful day that you've made. We thank you. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you with our whole heart. We are so grateful that you are our King and our Lord and our mighty God. And we just praise you and worship you for all the wonderful things you do. We praise you for the Word. We thank you that in the Word you declare that you saved all of us. So any human being can come to you and accept that gift anytime and be born again, anytime he wants to, and live a great life on earth and then die and go to heaven when he gets through with his life here. And Lord, we thank you that you bore our sickness, removed our disease, so we don't have to be sick anymore. It's a choice we make now, and I'm so grateful for learning about this mighty choice in your Word. Now, Lord, as the Word goes out today, I ask you to reveal to people about this spirit of fear so that they'll understand what it is and they will no longer walk in it. So I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, as we were talking yesterday, when fear came into the world was when Adam and Eve fell, because Adam said he was afraid after he had sinned and broken God's rule. When the Father walked into the garden and said, where are you, Adam? Adam was afraid. He had hid, and he said and declared with his mouth, I was afraid. So that's when fear came in. It came in when Satan came in. Now then, in this world, people will tell you, well, now, goodness gracious, what am I supposed to do when all these different various trials and tests or tribulation comes upon me? Well, you're not to step into fear, because the Lord clearly tells us, it's in John 16:33. The Lord says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, because in the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now see, we read these things, but they do not become a revelation to us. Whenever these kind of verses become a revelation to you, that means they pertain to you. And if they pertain to you, then you receive them by faith, and then you don't step into any fear, because you know your Lord has overcome the world. So if he's overcome the world, there's not any sense in you worrying about any kind of tests or tribulation or anything else. Now the wicked flee. In other words, I'm going to read a Proverbs to you, Proverbs 28. It says in Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. In other words, I was listening to a man tell me a story the other day. He said that his I think it was his stepfather. He said he hadn't seen him in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years. So he decided to go by and see him. And he said he went by to see him, and he knocked on the door. And when he knocked on the door, the man, when he did answer the door, the man had a .45 in his hand pointing right at him. And he opened the door, and there I was. And I thought, what did I do? And he said, oh, it's just you. He said, I was expecting someone else. Does that tell you what that man was living in? That man's heart was failing him right then because he was living in a high expectancy of fear. He expected someone to come to that door that obviously was going to try to kill him. So he had a gun. And by doing that, I guarantee that will shorten your life. Now, the book of Proverbs says, the wicked flee when no one pursues. Now, this man was scared, but he was wicked. He was not living in righteousness and holiness. Because if you're living in righteousness, the Word of God says in Proverbs 28:1 says, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I mean, I'm walking in obedience to God's Word. I'm not afraid of anything. I have no fear. I can get up in the morning, go to work, do whatever I want to do, go anywhere I want to. I have absolutely no fear because I know that as I walk in obedience to God's word, he says in his word, if I walk in obedience to his word, in Proverbs 26:2, he says no curse can come upon me undeserved. That's kind of like a young person that's being raised in the home of a family. If they're obedient and obey mom and dad, they don't have to worry about coming home and getting a spanking. Because if they got a good, loving, kind mother and father, they're going to be looking to give them good things if they're doing good things. The only reason you could come home and get a spanking is if you've done things wrong at school. If you were to hurt somebody or do something that was wrong and the teacher couldn't control you, or something like that, then when you got home, you would be living in a state of fear because, you know, if daddy finds out about it, if he's a good daddy, more than likely there's going to be consequences for you to suffer. So the thing about it is, don't step into that realm. Now then, Satan uses fear to destroy both the mind and the physical body. Fear literally will drive people to do devastating things to their mind and their body. Fear always destroys, but faith always builds up or creates. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 8, it says, God's Word is health to all of our flesh, and it brings long life to us. So if fear breaks you down, tears you down, destroys your mind and your body, then you do not want to live in fear. You want to learn how to overcome fear. And by being obedient to God's word, you will step out of the realm of fear and step into the realm of faith. And there, God's word absolutely will bring health and long life to your flesh. Now, I have learned these things. I've walked in these things. And I praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for having the privilege of learning these mighty privileges from God's Word. What you need to do, you need to take God's Word. You need to read it. You need to take it literally. If it tells you to do something, you need to do it. Now then, I know of a doctor. In fact, I talk with many doctors. Because I minister in so many hospitals. Praise the Lord that I don't have any sickness and disease. But I do minister to lots of people that do. But as I have discussed these things about fear, I have heard many doctors say, I have never known anyone who died of overwork. But I have known many who have died from fear or anxiety or worry. Now, isn't that amazing? You know, in other words, you can take a good Christian person, if they don't know that Jesus bore their sickness and removed their disease, according to Isaiah 53:4-5, Matthew 8:16-17, and 1 Peter 2:24, and then they don't know that the devil has been defeated by our Savior, according to many scriptures throughout the Word of God. If you don't know the Word, then you can't stand by faith on something you don't know. So when the enemy comes upon us and puts a symptom upon us, well, instead of going to God, instead of going and rebuking the enemy and going to the Lord, most people today, even in the church, will go to a doctor to be checked. Well, when they go to a doctor, they may very well get a bad report. A report that, you know, you have terminal cancer and 2 months to live or something like that. Some of those people, now I have known people that would literally step into the realm of such great fear when that happens instead of living 2 months. I've known people that the doctor said, you know, you can live 6 more months. And I've known people that stepped into the realm of fear so strongly that within 30 days they were already dead. It's amazing what fear will do to you. And yes, again, fear comes from the enemy. It does not come from God. So Satan is doing everything he can to destroy you. You can read all about these mighty promises in God's Word. It's just amazing what you learn when you sit down and read this magnificent owner's manual. This book we call the Word of God, the Bible, a book that was written by men, but each one of those men were moved upon by the Holy Spirit to write this mighty book. So no man wrote this book on his own. Many different men wrote this book as they were moved upon by the same God, the mighty Holy Spirit. And that's why the continuity of this book is so magnificently wonderful, even though it was written by about 45 different people over 1,500 years of history. It's just amazing how beautiful and magnificent this wonderful book is we call the Word of God. And the more you study this lovely book, the more you read it and study it, the more you realize it is a magnificent piece of work. It only could have come from the King of the universe, and His name is Jesus Christ. But He is awesome. He is something. So anyway, you don't want to get over into that realm of worry. I might say that those who live in worry invite the spirit of death to come into their life and begin to kill their physical body. That is such a devastating thing when you learn that there is a spirit of death. A spirit of death that goes along with a spirit of fear. And when you step into that realm of fear, Satan will come in with a spirit of fear, begin to torment you, and then that will open another door, and the spirit of death will come in. And if you're not real careful, you can step into a realm of fear that will be so devastating that it will literally invite the spirit of death in, and you can definitely die prematurely. Now, there's other things that causes fear. Some people get so tired, and they're not trained in the Word of God. They don't know how to stand on God's Word. So if they get extremely tired or if they're overworked, this will provide an entry point so that worry and fear can absolutely come in. You know, our fatigue is not caused by work, but by worry, by resentment, by frustration, by these things. You know, you can work and get extremely tired, but you can sit down, rest a few minutes, and you're ready to go again. But if you worry, it'll bring you in such a state of tiredness that you will not be able to overcome it. You can't even overcome it when you get a night's sleep because you won't be able to sleep good. So worry just does devastating things to your physical body and your mind. I'd like to invite you to give us a call for teaching, audio and video tapes, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also, like to invite you to our church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, and we see the Lord do many great and mighty things in our church. You can also contact us on the web, www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. And there you can get a list of all our video and audio tapes. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our King in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this beautiful, magnificent, glorious day that you have made. We worship you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. The reason we worship you and praise you and thank you, because you told us to all over your word. You told us to praise you and worship you with our whole heart. So, Lord, we worship you. We praise you as our King and our Lord. And we thank you for the abundance of all things. We thank you for everything you have given to us. We thank you for the food. We thank you for the good health. We thank you for everything, for the prosperity in this nation. We thank you, Lord, that you're our Lord and our God. May you bless the word today as it goes out. Lord, may everyone hear and understand the things I'm going to teach them today in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, folks, today we're going to continue to talk about fear and what it does. Now, one of the things I've come to realize over the year, that fear, when you step off into the realm of fear, fear literally, which comes from the enemy, tears down the godly hedge of protection that God is trying his best to put around you. He will put that hedge of protection around you to protect you, and you will literally tear it down with your fear and your words of fear. So you need to be very careful what you do. Don't step into the realm of fear. Fear nothing. The Lord says, fear nothing. Now, some of the things I have realized that fear causes, when people step into the realm of fear, it causes, and this happens on both men and women, it doesn't make any difference, it causes people to overeat. It causes people to become anxious. It causes stress. You can take a man on the job, and many men, if they're not really trained well in their job, and if they have a boss that's very demanding, he will demand that they do or reach a certain goal by a certain time, and some people will try everything they can to reach that point, and they cannot do it. And it might determine whether they get to keep their job or not, so it will put them into a state of fear. Instead of going to the Lord, asking him to give you calmness and coolness, and ask him to direct you so you cannot fail, you step into the realm of fear, which comes from the enemy, Satan, and of course, he will tear you down, and he will beat you, and he will do everything negative to you, because that's what that beast come to do. According to the Word of God, in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief, or Satan, he come to kill, steal, and to destroy. Now then, fear just causes so many things. Fear absolutely will bring torment to the body of a human being. Now the devil, this beast, he loves to operate through fear because it gives him an open door to attack and destroy any person. Now it's amazing what this beast does in the realms of fear. I remember when I was a young person, many, many years ago, but I went to a movie, and it was one of those really scary movies, and it had a really scary scene in it. And I'm telling you, it took me months to get over what I saw in that movie. I didn't understand the spiritual realm at all at that time, but now I know what the devil's trying to do. And I don't walk in any kind of fear. But then I was young and inexperienced, lack of knowledge, didn't know what to do. And so whenever those scenes of great fear that would come up on you and these terrible-looking things that would do things, it literally would cause people in the movie theater to scream. Well, that's what the enemy's trying to do to you. He's trying to get you off into the realm of fear. So he can literally enter you. Now, some of the entry points of fear. Now, I'm going to tell you that I have learned a lot of things in my life especially being in the ministry, that has opened the door for the spirit of fear to come in. Now, one of those things is trauma or a shock. Now, if you're in some kind of a trauma situation, it absolutely will open the door. In other words, the people that watch people die from cancer, that's a trauma or a shock to them, and it can allow the enemy, the spirit of fear, to come upon them. I mean, if you take a very small child, 3, 4, 5 years old, and take them and raise them up and let them look into the coffin, an open coffin of a aunt or an uncle or a grandmother or even a mother or father that might have passed away, it causes a trauma or a shock to them, and it can very easily open them up to a spirit of fear. You can literally jump out and from behind a door and scream or something and scare one of your children and absolutely open the door to the spirit of fear, and he can come in, and that child can be tormented for most of its life, or maybe all of its life, even as an adult, because of what you did. So whatever you do not want to open these doors. So, accidents. I've come to realize that absolutely an accident of some kind, especially a major accident that a person is involved in can absolutely create a trauma. In fact, in my own life, my own daughter, years ago, when she was just a little bitty girl, about 3 or 4 years old, we was down on the farm one day, and I was reaching down to pick up some pieces of steel, and a big snake jumped out from under there. And when this snake jumped out from under this beam that I picked up, the snake ran right toward my children. Well, my son, being a boy, you know, boys react differently than girls do. So it didn't scare him much at all. But my daughter, she went into a panic. She began to scream and go on. Well, I was able to get rid of the snake before he got to her, but he got pretty close to her. And by the time he got there, she was in such a state of fear that a demon of fear entered that baby right there that day. And from that moment on, that little lady was absolutely afraid to go outside. She would not stay with a grandmother or a grandfather. She had to be at home with mom and dad until she was 15 years old. From 3 to 15, she had this spirit of fear. She was afraid of everything. Finally, one night, the Holy Spirit revealed to me what her problem was. And when he spoke to me and told me what her problem was, I cast that spirit of fear out of my 15-year-old daughter. And from that day forth, she was not afraid of anything. Now, I'm telling you, these spirits of fear can cause devastating things in your life. So you need to make sure that if you're living in fear, if you are living in fear, you have a spirit of fear more than likely, and you can, as an adult, as a grown, born-again, spirit-filled Christian, there's absolutely no reason that you have to put up with that nonsense. If you can find some good deliverance ministry, you can go and claim, or you can even do it yourself. If you're strong in the Lord, you can claim your redemption from the curse. You can claim the authority that's yours over all the evil spirits of hell, because Jesus said in his word in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, that all power and all authority has been given to us, the believers, over Satan and his demons. The serpent and his scorpions. Of course, that's Satan and his demons. All power is given to us over them, and they shall in no wise hurt us. And they even have to be subject to us, which means if we take authority over them and command them to leave in the name of Jesus, they have to leave. And it can totally change your life. You can get rid of that spirit of fear, and you can absolutely walk completely free of all of that. So you need to be aware of what causes this or opens the door or gives an entry point for these evil spirits to come in. And, of course, like I said, trauma or shock or watching people die or tremendous accidents, people seeing devastating things happen or looking into a coffin or all kinds of things will cause those things to come into your life. And then you'll have a real problem getting them out if you don't know. And I've come to realize most of the body of Christ is not very well trained in this area. But praise the Lord, He's teaching some of us, and we're really enjoying getting people set free from these things. Now, some of the other things that will allow the spirit of fear to come in is sin. Now, just absolutely sin. Sin that we commit ourselves or even that our ancestors. Because if we were involved, let's say that you had a mother or a father or something, someone that was close to you that was involved in the occult. When they get into the occult and begin to believe these things and call demon spirits in, these things, these demons will come to them, and of course they'll have legal access. So by having legal access, it will give them the right to come in through these sins and enter the people in the family. And you can very easily get a spirit of fear because of the sin, either of yourself, because of your sin of witchcraft, or getting involved in the occult, playing with tarot cards, or Ouija boards, or all these kind of things. You want to stay away from all forms of the occult. You don't want to read horoscopes. You don't want to go to a fortune teller. All those things open the door to evil spirits. So whatever you do, don't have anything to do with those things, because the Word of God tells you as a Christian not to. Now then, some of the other things we talked about a while ago, well, touching dead bodies, not only looking in a coffin, but touching a dead body. If you're not very solidly grounded, whenever you touch a dead body, sometimes, according to the Word of God, it says, do not touch a dead body. And only if you're involved with it and preparing it for burial or something like that, otherwise not to handle it. And rejection, when children are rejected, a lot of times it causes a spirit of fear, which will bring a spirit of stuttering upon those children. So you do not want to do anything that would make a child feel rejected. I'd like to invite you to call me for audio and video tapes of these teachings we're doing. And it's 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you out to our church on Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. I would also like to invite you to our healing school. We teach a healing school at both in the Dallas area and the Justin area, the second Saturday of every month and the fourth Saturday of every month. If you're having trouble getting healed, you might make it a point to come to one of our healing schools. You can go to our website and you can find all the information at tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ and have a wonderful day in the Lord. And if you need to be healed, just come to one of our healing schools or even call and get one of our videotapes and you can learn how to walk in health. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. The King is alive, and I want to just praise Him and worship Him and thank Him right now for a few minutes, for He is the King, the Lord of gods, the Lord of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Jesus, we worship You. We praise You and thank You for what You did on that cross for us 2,000 years ago and how You defeated the enemy totally, completely, and gave us back everything that we lost in the fall and more. We worship You and we praise You and thank You for these mighty things. Now, as the word goes out today, Lord, reveal it to Your people as we continue to talk about the subject of fear this week and how it affects us as human beings. Lord, give us revelation to realize that You did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of joy and a sound mind. Now, thank You, Father, for Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to continue to talk about fear a little bit more today. There is so many different forms of fear. These things range from claustrophobia. I think about the people, grown men and women, that are Christians, that can't even get in a closet and close the door without stepping into the realm of fear. Some of those people get hysterical when they step into these different things. Like, for instance, I used to work with a man as an automobile mechanic when I was a young man years and years and years ago. And this guy, you couldn't put him in the trunk of a car and shut the trunk down on that thing. He would literally kick the back seat out of that car. I never saw anything like it. People live in the realms of fear. What have you have to fear? Nothing but fear itself. If you're back there and they shut the trunk, no big deal. You know, you're still there. You're safe. Nothing's going to hurt you in there. It's all in your mind. People have fear of heights. In fact, I was going to put a bub in a streetlight pole years ago when I was working for a company, and we didn't have a high lift. So we had a high lift truck. And I had a ladder to put on top of it, and I thought, well, I'll just raise this truck up. This truck will go up 15, 16, 18 feet, and then I'll be on top of the truck. I'll just put a ladder on top of the truck, and the pole was 30 foot tall, and I'll just lean the ladder up against the top of the pole from the top of the truck, and I'll get the guy to hold it for me, and I'll climb up there and change the bump. Well, we started up, and the young man that was with me, We got up about 8 feet off the ground, and he started trembling. And we're sitting on a big, flat platform of a truck. And I said, son, are you afraid? He said, yes, I'm so afraid of heights. I said, let me let this truck back down, and let me let you go back and do something else, because I certainly don't want you on top of a truck with a ladder holding it, and I'm going to be up on that ladder. I said, you'll pull me off of there and make me fall. And so I let the truck back down, went and got a young man that used to climb highline poles. He wasn't afraid of any kind of heights. And I brought him out there, and he held the ladder for me. We got up on top of that truck, and I climbed the pole and changed the bulb in the light. And it was absolutely no problem. But some people have such great fear of heights. And some people have great fear of animals, you know, like a cat, or a fear of going outside at night. Those spirits of fear, if you have one of those, that is called in the Word of God the spirit of fear, and it comes from the enemy. Now, somewhere along in your life, you became afraid of something, and as you really stepped into the realm of fear, you opened the door, and a demon of fear came into your life. Now then, all you got to do is repent of that, because God did not give you that. When you repent of being afraid, then command in the name of Jesus for that spirit of fear to leave you. And he has to leave you. And then you don't have to be afraid of anything. You can walk absolutely in no fear. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, fear and torment go together. People that live in fear live in torment. I can only imagine the fun that the enemy, the devil, must have with the church. When we learn who we are, we can drive him away. He has no power over us whatsoever. Our King completely defeated Satan on the cross 2,000 years ago. So when the enemy comes to you to try to torment you with anything, sickness and disease, fear, any of these things we've talked about this week, rebuke him and command him to get his hands off of you in the name of Jesus. Now then, it would be very helpful if you would hide God's word in your heart. Find these mighty scriptures that guarantee you have power over the enemy, and that he must be subject to you in the name of Jesus. Get scriptures like 1 John 3:8, Hebrews 2:14, Colossians 2:15, Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. When you get those kind of verses hidden in your heart, this enemy, fear, will have to go away from you. Now then, fear absolutely is such a powerful force, it will kill you. This is opposite of faith. Faith will bring life to your physical body, whereas fear is a killer. Now, the spirit of faith is equal to a spiritual force, and the spirit of fear is equal to a spiritual force. Both of those are spiritual beings. Now then, fear, the Lord says in His Word, He has not given us the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Now fear is a spiritual force that comes out of the spiritual realm and attacks mind and your mind. Now it can kill you. Fear can kill you. Emma's heart cells are destroyed by the body's reaction to fear. Now, this is now a confirmed fact. Absolutely, medical men and their tests have absolutely confirmed that cells in your body are destroyed, especially heart cells, are destroyed by the body's reaction to fear. So when people step off into that, there is cells in your heart that begins to die. So what that's doing, you have absolutely invited the spirit of death into your physical body, and the spirit of death begins a killing process that's killing your physical body. Now then, stress caused by fear can produce very lethal changes in the heart muscle, and it can even cause death. Isn't that amazing that even people in Mayo Clinic have made statements that they said that fear attacks the heart, the circulation system, the glands, and all parts of your health is affected by fear. Now, who would ever dream that when you step into the realm of fear, it can do such awesome things? Now then, in the Word of God, there is a tremendous example of this in 1 Samuel 25. Now, I'm going to read that to you. Now, here in 1 Samuel 25, verse 37, the Word of God declares that Nabal died of fear when he heard about the visit of David. It said, "So it was in the morning when the wine had gone from Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became like a stone." Now, isn't that amazing? Just because of fear of David's visit. Now then, if his wife hadn't went out and said what she did and found David, truly David had come to kill Nabal and all of his house. So when he heard what had happened, literally, fear came into his heart, and the man died. His heart became like stone. So fear does terrible things to the human body. Now then, fear anticipates the worst and not the best. Fear always goes on to say that, what if? What if I can't pay the bills this month? Oh, my goodness gracious, what am I going to do if my job plays out and I can't pay the bills this month? They'll throw me out in the street. But you've got a good job, and you're a very productive person. Why should you let that bother you? But literally, people cause stress, and they cause their heart muscles to fail in their body because of fear of what if. What if I get sick? I won't be able to meet my needs. Oh, my goodness. There's so many what ifs. What if I lose my job? Well, if you keep talking like that, you're probably going to lose your job. But if you do a good job for the company you work for, and you realize that you're working for the King, Jesus, and not the company, and the King is your provider, then you would be like a man. I heard a preacher here a while back said a man came into his office and said, I've heard you teaching and preaching on prosperity and all these things, so I want you to pray that I'll get a better job and make more money. He said, great. Sit down here and let's come before the King. So the pastor prayed a beautiful prayer, asking the Father in the name of Jesus to give this man an increase in pay. Well, within a week, the man came back in fussing at the pastor, and he said, I asked you to pray for an increase in salary, and I got fired today. He said, what's this all about? Well, the pastor says, my goodness, how are you going to get an increase in pay unless you get a better job? So just trust God. So the man went from being angry and in fear to worshiping and praising the Lord, and within a week, he had another job that paid almost twice the money the other one did, and it was working the exact hours he wanted to work with weekends off, and everything worked out perfect for that man. See, all you've got to do is stay out of fear, praise the Lord, thank him for his word, stand on his word, and he's always there for your benefit. He's there to help you and not hurt you when you pray. So lean not on your own understanding, but trust the Lord, and he will do great and wonderful things for you. I'd like to invite you to call me for audio and video tapes of these teachings. We do many teachings. 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We're at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. You go up 35E from Dallas until you get to Walnut Hill, and then turn right on Walnut Hill and go four blocks, and you come to Shady Trail. You turn right on Shady Trail, and we're about 300 yards down on the right. We start at 2 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Sister Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our wonderful, precious Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for allowing us to come directly into the throne room of God, according to Hebrews 4:16, in times of need and help. Lord, we come in for mercy. We ask you to do great and mighty things for us. We ask you to reveal to us the truth of your word. We ask you to reveal to the people that will hear your word today the mighty word of the living God, and that we might be more knowledgeable and more understanding about our enemy as well as you when this day is over. Now, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you and ask you to do great and mighty things with your word as it goes out today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, we're continuing today to talk about the spirit of fear and some of the things that allows the spirit of fear to come in to us, and especially children. But it doesn't only work for children. It does work for adults too. It is just easier for a spirit of fear to gain access to a child because they're easier to be motivated into the realms of fear. So whatever you do, mamas and daddies, do not drive your children to fear. That's just like the Lord told us in Ephesians. He said, fathers, do not drive your children to anger. So it's dangerous to do these kind of things. So fear is no different. Now then, some of the things that's out there today that you can view that will absolutely bring fear even into the heart of an adult is the television set. Some of the movies that they are making today, once in a while, I get a glimpse of something that's on TV. I quit watching TV as far as secular TV many, many years ago, and I have not regretted not one minute. I don't know any movie star anymore for the last 15, 20 years. I don't know who any of them are. I don't watch any of that stuff because most of the stuff you watch has got sin in it, And some of it is very heavily evolved in sin, and nearly 100% of it has vulgar words and profanity. So the Lord tells me not to think on those things and meditate on those things, so I don't. I am obedient to the commands of Christ, and therefore I don't have to worry about fear. It cannot come into my heart. But there's lots of people that will view these wicked movies, or we'll also read these old scary books. In fact, some people even buy those scary books, and I cannot believe today that we can be so dense in our school systems that our school teachers and our principals, I don't see how they can be so spiritually dead to look at a book like Harry Potter and make that required reading for a child. It just tells me where we are spiritually, and especially if the people profess to be Christians. If you have a Christian teacher anywhere in a school and you are allowing your children to read Harry Potter, I'm going to tell you, sir or ma'am, you have a problem, a serious problem, and you're going to stand before God for what you've done. But that's just like a teacher that teaches evolution. That teacher will stand before God because they've taught those children a lie, not the truth. And the thing about it is, the Word of God says in Hebrews 10:26 that if you do something willfully after you've known the truth, there's no sacrifice for that sin left, but only a fiery judgment of God, the wrath of God to come upon you for doing that. So if you know that these things are wrong, and if you don't, then you need to learn they are, because what they're going to do, they're going to open a spirit of fear to come into you and your family, because you have been disobedient to God's word. Now it's time, folks, that we as Christians become righteous, holy children of the King of the universe. It's time we stop doing all these silly things that we do in church and teach our children that we're in a war and we are to do combat against the devil and to break the power of the devil to bring people into the kingdom of God instead of doing what the Lord tells us not to do. In fact, we do what he tells us not to do, and we do those things like watching these wicked movies or reading these wicked books or listening to some of this wicked music. I mean, I hear somebody pull up beside me in a car once in a while with some of the most wicked music you can imagine. I can only imagine the condition of that person's mind or spirit if they're listening to that kind of stuff all day. And evidently they are. And then games that they play. I cannot imagine even a child, and much less a grown man, that will sit in front of a computer with games like Dungeons and Dragons, and all they're doing is killing people all day long. Well, so it's just a game. Yes, it's just a game. But what you're doing is not according to God's word. He tells you to walk in love. And if you begin to harden your heart watching and playing these games, there will come a time in your life when you will be able to do those things for real. So you need to not harden your heart playing those games. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to repent. You need to get rid of all of your movies, your books, your bad music, your games such as Dungeons and Dragons, and all of this stuff, and especially for your children. Now, you as an adult are a little bit more desensitized to these things, and the chances of you getting hooked on this is a little higher. But, a little further along, it'd be a little more difficult for it to happen. But still, it is possible. So the thing to do is don't start. So you don't want to open that door to that demon of fear to come in you and begin to drive you. Now then, another thing that causes these evil spirits of fear to come in us is hearing the wrong things. Now, you have to be very careful what you hear. Now, Jesus told us in Luke 8:18, he said, take heed how you hear. Now, that's kind of hard to grasp, isn't it? Take heed how you hear. In other words, if you're listening to people talk about wicked things, if you hear something that begins to go on or somebody's telling something that's wicked or devastating, don't continue to hang around and hear it. Get out of the way. Close your ears. Do not receive those mighty things. So, you know, it's amazing what people hear and how they hear it and what it causes and how it causes a spirit of fear to come into their life. And then some of those people are hung up with that thing all of their life and never get free and live their whole life with these wicked spirits of fear. Now, another thing that allows fear and worry to come into you is when you have the problem of covetousness. Now, this is a primary thing that allows the spirit of fear to come in, because as we covet material things, whatever they are, new cars, new houses, new boats, new television sets, we absolutely open ourselves wide open to be brought into bondage and debt. Because the only way you can get those things is debt. Put them on your credit cards. It's amazing what they do today with young people. They get a young person right out of high school, maybe not even out of high school, send them a credit card with a $1,000 limit, and the average student will have that thing up to $1,000 in a matter of maybe sometimes weeks or months. They don't realize they have to pay those things off. And then they start socking all that high interest on there, and they have you in bondage for life. You might have went down and bought something that was on sale half price, and you put it on a credit card. And then if you didn't have a responsible job, it would take you a long time to pay it off. When you got it paid off, you literally paid it off two or three times. But those people make all that money, and that's what they're there to do. That's Satan's ways in this world. So that covetousness is one of the worst things you can do. It will open the door to put you into debt, which will, when you get into debt, it will absolutely bring on the spirit of fear, and that beast will torment you. Now then, if you were to take the Word of God and read it, the Word of God tells you we are told that our conduct should be without covetousness, and we should be content with such things as we have. Then, the Word of God says, that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me, in Hebrews 13:6. So, you don't have to fear man. If you walk in obedience to God's Word, and seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all things that your heart desires should be added unto you. Now, you know, it's amazing how we do that backwards. Instead of doing it God's way, we will train our children to go to school, to do a good job in school, to get a good education, and go to college and all those things, and then kick them out in the business world and tell them, good luck. Go get it. Well, that's not God's way. God's way says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. So if you want your children to be fruitful and productive, teach them first about God. There's not anything wrong with sending them to a good school or homeschooling them or whatever you want to do, as long as you teach your children about the Lord. Because if they'll learn about the Lord, learn who He is, He clearly tells us in His Word, if we will seek Him and His righteousness first and obey and do what He says, then He says, everything we put our hands to, He will make it prosper for us. Isn't that good news? So, that's out there for you and me. So what is it we don't understand about doing things God's way? If you take your children, you train them in the Word of God, you read the Word of God to them every day from the time they're little bitty guys up until they get to be 15 or 16 years old, if you'll read God's Word to them and you'll pray over them and ask the Lord to bless them and speak His blessings on them like He says, I will guarantee you that God will be able to raise good children out of your family. They will all turn out good. Sure, they may make a mistake or two, but it won't be nothing like the families that do not train their children up in the ways of God. Those children will become drunks and drug addicts and prostitutes and go to jail and everything else. But yours will not do those things because you have trained yours in the knowledge of the Word of God. Come to the end of another day. I'd like to invite you to call me for audios and videos. 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you out to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Also, I'd like to invite you to our healing school. We teach a healing school, teach you how to walk in divine health, or teach you how to be healed if you have a sickness, and especially if you have a sickness that the doctors can't heal. We have seen the Lord heal many people. So we have that the second Saturday of every month at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. The second Saturday of every month starts at 1 p.m. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle for you. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Let's come to our Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship you and praise you and thank you for one more opportunity to teach the Word of the Living God over these airways. Father, I praise you for what you do over these airways. I praise you and thank you for the people that are gaining revelation and knowledge and understanding of your Word, and they're learning how to be instruments of faith. Men and women of faith, men and women that know how to get their prayers answered and see you do great and mighty things. Lord, reveal to us today the truth of the Word of the Living God so that we may truly become the bride of Christ, the bride that will walk across this earth in the name of our Savior Jesus and become known as the people that are holy before you and do great and mighty things for your kingdom. We thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. In the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about fear. I've been talking about many things that allows fear to come in. And I have met many people in my life, and I've had many experiences with people that live constantly in fear. No Christian should live in fear. No person technically should live in fear, but there's a devil out there, and he's going to do everything he can to get you to live in fear. And if you don't know the things that I'm going to teach you today, it's unfortunate you're just going to have to live in fear, because there's going to be things that's going to happen, traumas in your life and all kinds of things, sickness, disease, death, all kinds of things that are going to open the door to allow that spirit of fear. Now remember, folks, this is a spirit. This is not just something. This is a personality, a thing that Jesus called the spirit of fear. It is a personality from hell that comes and attaches itself to you to cause you to live in this terrible condition of fear. Now, many people today live in the realm of fear. But you don't have to. You don't have to do a lot of things if you're a born-again Christian. But most born-again Christians that I've met really never studied their owner's manual, which we call the Word of the Living God, or the Bible, or the Sword of the Spirit. So they really don't know what it says. It never ceases to amaze me. Most people are just like I was most of my life. Most of my life, even though I was in church every Sunday, loved God, served as a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, and everything else, I couldn't quote hardly any of the Word of God to you. I didn't know where things were found. I just hadn't spent that time, kind of time with God. But in the last few years, I have. I have studied the Word of God in detail, and I've come to realize that's the only way you can get great faith is to hide God's Word in your heart, meditate on it day and night, and then you can do great and mighty things. Now then, the first thing that you must do to really be able to get rid of this spirit of fear, you must be sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, many people call this term being born again or saved. Being born again, being a possessor of eternal life. Now, God made this thing so simple for a person to become a born-again Christian. Everybody should know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, I'm going to go over a few scriptures right quick to show you how simple God made it for you to become a born-again son of God. Now, right here in Romans chapter 10, now there's many other places in the Word of God that'll teach you how to become a born-again Christian, but there's not anything any clearer than what you will find here in Romans 10, starting out with verse 8. It says, "But what does it say? The Word, or God's message in Christ, is near you. It is on your lips and in your heart." That is the Word, the message, the basis and object of faith which we preach. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a man or a person believes and relies on Christ, and so is justified or declared righteous or acceptable to God. And with your mouth he confesses, declares openly, and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. The scripture says, "No man who believes in Christ, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed." It's amazing, isn't it, that there's no difference here between the Jew or the Greek. The Word of God says he's the same. Everyone, he pours his blessings out upon us, and he makes it so simple that a little 3 or 4 year old child can get a hold of this. God put these cookies right down on the bottom shelf where the little bitty children can find it. He didn't want it to be difficult. He didn't want it to be hard. He wanted it to be so simple that everybody, regardless of who you are, could find Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and come into the kingdom and get born again. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's the best thing of all things I've ever seen the Lord do for me. That is the only one that really counts. It's the day when I was 11 years old, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And, of course, from that day on, it's just got better. Because when I was 11, I really didn't know what I had, because I didn't know the owner's manual. I knew that Christ had become my Savior, but I didn't have a clue what all had become mine. I didn't have a clue that not only did he save me, but he healed me. He delivered me from the forces of darkness. He redeemed me from the curse. He gave me prosperity. He gave me health. And I would never, ever, as a born-again Christian, if I will walk in obedience and in faith, according to his word, I don't have to be sick no more. I don't have to sin no more. I don't have to do anything except walk an abundant life with Christ. Every time I sin, it's a choice. I mean, there's the Holy Spirit there screaming at me, trying to tell me, no, 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 don't do that. And praise the Lord, most of the time I try very diligently to walk in obedience to God's word and do what he says. I try to die to, I do die to sin and live unto righteousness. And that's what he told me to do. Well, you can do the same thing. So that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to come into his kingdom. And when you get a hold of the fact that Christ not only died on the cross to save you from sin, but he died on the cross to redeem you from all the curse, and that's where all sickness and disease is, and he bore your sickness and removed your disease on the cross, according to Matthew 8, 16, and 17. And there's many other scriptures that guarantees you the same thing. So when you begin to understand who Christ is, that he is your Lord and he's your God, then you will never live in fear again. I don't care what the devil tries to throw at you. When you learn who you are and who you are in Christ, this problem with fear will go out the window. You won't be afraid of anything or anybody anytime. Now, if you walk in total faith and total love, you will never have to be concerned with fear. Now, if you're living in fear today as a born-again Christian, you are living in sin, because to live in fear is a sin. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Now, that's written for us in Romans 14:23. So, if you're not walking in the abundant life as a Christian, you're walking in sin. So, you need, first of all, to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. You need to make him your Savior, your Lord, your God. And when you get into the Word of God and begin to realize what he done for you, most people only know what I used to know for most of my life. Most of my life, I only knew Jesus as the Savior. I had no idea of what all he was. In other words, when he said it is finished on that cross, I didn't realize he had delivered me out of the kingdom of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of light of his dear Son. Or if I read that over there in Colossians chapter 1, it had not become a revelation to me. But when I finally got revelation on that the Lord himself delivered me out of Satan's kingdom when I got saved and translated me into his kingdom, when I step into his kingdom, what do I have to fear? Nothing. Nothing at all. And then when I realized that he bore my sickness and my pain, and all of that was mine, and I had to receive that by faith because it was not any more automatic than my salvation, I had to hear the Word of God being preached. I had to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then be willing to confess him with my mouth as my Lord and my Savior. And then, many years later, when I learned that Jesus was my healer, and I mean, I begin to see these promises now all over the book. He promised to heal all of my diseases every time. In fact, he said, if you'll walk in obedience to my word, you won't never have to be sick anymore. He said, if you'll call me in remembrance of my promises, I will deliver you. And he says, no sickness and no plague and no disease will come upon you. I mean, he clearly made those promises to us many places in God's word. So when you learn that, when you learn that you don't have to sin no more, you don't have to be sick anymore, you don't have to be poor anymore, then what in the world do you have to fear? Nothing. So for goodness sakes, don't walk in any kind of fear. Because if you do, that's the devil, and he's getting to you, and he has deceived you. So whatever you do, make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, and then begin to study his word. I'd like to invite you to call me for teaching tapes on these subjects and many other subjects. My phone number is 940-242-2106. I'd also like to invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. And we're at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Also, like to invite you to come down to our healing school. We have a healing school the second Saturday and the fourth Saturday of every month. The one the second Saturday is at the Operation, the church in Dallas. The other one's out at Justin. You can find all this information on our website at www.tlsm.org. And there you can also find out all the places we're going to be speaking. We're going to be speaking many places, and we invite you to come and be a part of all these things. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we just want to praise you and worship you and thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all the wonderful things you do for us, your sons and daughters. We are so grateful for Jesus and the grace that he poured out upon us. Now, Lord, open our hearts and minds today as we read the Word, discuss the Word, and as we learn how to walk in a state of righteousness and not in fear. Now, Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, we've been talking about fear lately and what gives fear legal claim, which comes from the devil to come up on you and take control of you. But this week, we're talking about how to walk free from that fear and not have to yield to it at all. Now, first yesterday, we said you must be a born-again Christian. You must know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I showed you from Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, and so forth, how to do that. The simplest thing in the world to come to Jesus. He made it so simple that anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's just how easy he made it. Now then, we're going to talk a little bit about baptism today. After you get saved, the next thing you want to do is you want to be baptized in water. Now, I'm going to read just a little bit out of Romans chapter 6 here for you today. The Word of God says, "What shall we say to all this? Are we to remain in sin in order that God's grace or his favor and mercy may multiply and overflow? Certainly not." In other words, when we become born again Christians, we are certainly not to continue in sin. How can we who died to sin live in it any longer? In other words, when you become a born-again Christian, technically you're supposed to die to sin. So if you die to sin, you're not going to sin anymore. You're going to stop it. He says, "Are you ignorant of the fact that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by the baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we might also live and behave in newness of life." Now, that's how a Christian should behave. Now, why do so few of them not do that? In other words, lots of Christians, there's lots of good, wonderful Christian people out there that love God. And they do go to church. But you really get down with most of those people where they live, you'll find that so many of those people live in fear. Well, that's why your faith don't work, because fear and faith cannot inhabit the same body at the same time. So it's pretty obvious why the enemy wants to keep you living in fear. So if you become a born-again Christian and you accept the baptism of water and you're baptized in water, then the next thing you need to do, you need to pray and get this infilling power that Jesus told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of the power. Now, praise God, we don't have to wait for that power today. It's available to us all the time, the very minute we become a born-again Christian. How do we get this magnificent power that's called a magnificent baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, the Word of God in Acts chapter 1 and 2, Jesus is talking about here through the apostle Luke as he's writing the book of Acts. He's talking about the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. Now, these people, the first disciples and apostles, they went up and prayed, and they prayed and prayed for 10 days, and then this magnificent Holy Spirit came to the earth to stay for the first time ever, or at least that we know about. When he came to stay, he came to infill every believer that would ask for the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. So in Luke 11:13, he tells us that all we got to do to get the infilling power of the Holy Spirit is ask for it. Once we ask the Father to fill us with the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, all nine of the gifts of the Spirit become ours. Now, the Holy Spirit will give them to whom He will, as He wills. But those things are available to you by faith. So you need to learn to act on all of the nine gifts of the Spirit and see those magnificent things come to you. Whenever you learn the power you have as a born-again Christian, baptized in water, now baptized with the Holy Spirit and this magnificent power, you will never have to be concerned at all about the spirit of fear coming upon you. That spirit of fear can absolutely not come into a human being that is filled with the Holy Spirit, that's walking in obedience to God's Word, that's calling God into remembrance of His promises every day. Now, if you're not doing those things, if you've never asked for the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, you'll not have that magnificent, wonderful teacher to reveal to you the things of God, which you have to have that teacher. Now, I was a born-again Christian for many years. In fact, I was in a normal denominational church, and the church I was in, absolutely, when they did teach on the Holy Spirit, they taught against the Holy Spirit and not that we could receive the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I did a dangerous thing. I began to read the Bible and believe it for myself. So as I began to read the Bible and believe what it said, praise the Lord, the infilling power of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I got a power that I was able to do things I could never do before. I became conscious and aware that there was demons out there and that I had power over them. And then I learned through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that I was not only just born again, but I was now full of this glorious, magnificent Holy Spirit. And He began to reveal to me who these demons were and that I have power over these things. And when I speak to them in my life in the name of Jesus and even in other people's life, they have to go away and leave me alone. Oh, goodness. You talk about stepping out of the realm of fear and into the realm of abundant life. When you get a hold of the fact that you're a Christian and that you have dominion on the earth. I mean, technically, according to God's Word, everything that Adam and Eve lost in the fall, we got it back through what our Savior Jesus did for us and more. The enemy has to be subject to us now in the name of Jesus. If you walk holy before God, the Word of God clearly says in 1 John 5:18, "My children, do not sin." Now, this is the example I left you to follow in 1 Peter 2:21, that in me, Jesus, there was no sin. So this is the goal for you and I, no sin. He also said in 1 John 5:18, His children, the true sons and daughters of God, they keep themselves and they do not sin. And so He says, if you do not sin, the evil one cannot touch you, because no curse comes upon you undeserved, according to Proverbs 26:2. So if you walk holy before God, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive the water baptism, and then you receive the infilling power of the Holy Spirit. And remember, this infilling power of the Holy Spirit, it will go away, so you need to ask for it every day. You need to ask the Father in the name of Jesus to fill you to overflowing with a magnificent power of the Holy Spirit so that He can use you mightily for His kingdom. And through that mighty Holy Spirit, I mean whenever the disciples in the book of Acts, when they received the infilling power of the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in tongues, they began to prophesy, they began to praise God. And those kind of things happened all up and down through the book of Acts. So if it happened to them, He also says that Holy Spirit is for us and all generations. So I praise the Lord for the privilege to know Him and His magnificent Holy Spirit. So now then, if you'll make Jesus Lord of your life, then you'll be baptized in water, then you'll receive the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit, then you begin to really gain knowledge of this book. Read this owner's manual. read this thing and believe what it says. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus to give you tremendous revelation and wisdom from this mighty book as you read it and study it. Because as you read and study this book, the promises in this book that are all yes and amen, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20, this book has so many awesome promises in it. When you begin to get a hold of this, there's another reason. You will never, never, never walk in fear again. You don't have to be concerned about anything or afraid of nothing, because you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord, your Savior, and your healer, your deliverer, and your provider. You don't have to be concerned about anything ever again. Jesus will meet all of your needs physically and spiritually. All you got to do is put Him first in everything He does and give Him all the glory and praise and honor. So receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Get baptized in water. And then receive the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will be anointed with power from on high to go out to cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. You will be able to see the Lord do great and mighty things. Somebody says, man, I've never seen anybody heal anybody. Well, you haven't been with me. I have went out many times and use the name of Jesus and Christ in me now, the hope of glory. I'm not doing the healing. He is, of course. But I am being allowed by the Savior to be a part of His body as if He was here on this earth still. So when I touch people in faith, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And He always shows up to do great and mighty things. So I've seen the Lord heal many people. And so if you get a hold of the fact of some of these promises, you will never have to walk in fear again. When you learn that you can walk up to someone that's sick and lay your hands on them and say, devil, come out in the name of Jesus, now be healed in Jesus' name. And when you start seeing people get delivered and healed, it will kind of shock you. But you have that kind of power. We have testimonies in our church every Sunday afternoon that people that see these wonderful things happen now that they're learning who they are and what they can do in the name of Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Invite you to call me for teaching tapes, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Also, I'd like to invite you out to our church, the Living Savior Church. We're in North Dallas. We start at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. It's at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Also like to invite you to our healing school. We teach a healing school, teach you how to get healed if you're sick or how to walk in divine health if you want to. For directions to the healing school, the best thing would be to go to the website at www.tlsm.org. And there from the website, you can get all the information of all the healing schools that we teach. We teach two every month. Come and receive your healing. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries again today. Let's come to our wonderful Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we worship You as we catch ourselves up to the third heaven, where You told us in Hebrews 4:16 to come into the throne room boldly for mercy and grace anytime we need it. Well, Lord, we come up there regular to worship You and praise You and thank You because You're the King. Lord, I ask You as the word goes out today, I ask You to give men and women revelation of who they are, that they may walk in obedience to Your word, that we might have no fear in the church. Lord, I want to praise You and thank You and worship You for being our Lord and our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now reveal the word as it goes out today, in Jesus' name. Now then today, after we've talked about this week how to live outside of fear, to become a Christian, be baptized, to receive the Holy Spirit, and all those things, after you've done those things, then the next thing you've got to learn to do is you've got to learn how to talk. Now that's something that took me most of my life, and I'm still working on this, but I'm getting a whole lot better at it than I ever was before. You must learn how to speak God's word. Now then, the Word of God says that what's in a man's heart comes out of his mouth. So if all you're doing is sitting around watching talk shows on television or soap operas or cartoons or any of the junk of the world, any time you need to get God on the scene, forget it. It's not going to happen. You must be spending time with the King. You must be putting Him first in your life, in your heart. You must have His Word hidden in your heart. Now, Jesus said in John 15:7, that if a man abides in Him and His words abide in you, then He said you can ask Him anything you want and it shall be yours. Now, that's a pretty awesome promise. So you have to hide His Word in your heart. So you have to read it. But today I'm going to talk a little bit about a young man in the Old Testament that learned how to talk. Now, this young man was David. Now, David, he went over to check on his brothers. They were over here fighting the Philistines, or at least he thought they were over there fighting the Philistines. And when David got over there, there was no fight going on. Here was these huge giants, this guy Goliath. He was a great big giant guy. And David wondered what going on. And, of course, they said, you know, this Philistine had him at bay. So David was saying some things there. I want to read something here in 1 Samuel 17, start with verse 34. It says, "And David said to Saul, 'Your servant kept his father's sheep, and when there came a lion, or again a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, and smote it, and delivered the lamb out of its mouth, and where it arose against me, I caught it by its beard, and smote it, and killed it.'" Now, that's a pretty brave, young man, just a teenage boy, that whenever he's watching over the flock of sheep, if a lion or a bear comes in to get a little lamb, he goes out and gets it and kills it with his bare hands. Now, David had learned something there that most people have not. So he says, "Your servant," which is David, "killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath, should be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God." David said, now this, listen, this is the most important thing you can learn after you become a born-again Christian, is learning to speak words of faith, or to speak what you want and not the problem. And verse 37, "And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Then, you know, it's amazing the importance of what you say. Now look right there what David said. In verse 17 it clearly says, "And David said, 'The Lord who delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine.'" Now then, if you have that kind of assurance in your God from His Word that He is big enough to deliver you out of all things, then these positive words will come out of your mouth. I heard a young man one time make such a devastating negative statement about something that happened. I said, "My goodness, why don't you be a little more positive about that?" He said, "Okay, I am positive this failure is going to take place." Well, that wasn't exactly what I meant for him to say. But he was so tuned in to the negative side of everything, he just knew nothing good was going to happen. And guess what? It never did in his life. He never was an overcomer because as a born-again Christian, he never learned how to talk. Now, the Lord says in Proverbs, "Life and death is in the power of the tongue." And to walk free of fear, you must learn who you are in Christ, and then you must learn how to speak God's Word. And you must know that His Word is true, and that His Word cannot fail you. And so when you quote God's Word to Him, He will come on the scene. Now, you got to realize here that David was saying there in verse 37, the Lord will deliver me out of the paw, out of the hands of this Philistine, because the Lord was the one that delivered me out of the lion and the bear. So if the Lord is the one that done this, and he was, well, then why wouldn't he deliver him from this Philistine? Now then, let's look a little bit further in here into what this says about this Philistine. Starting here in 1 Samuel 17, starting about verse 41, it says, the Philistine came on and drew near to David, the man who bore the shield going before him. And when the Philistine, or Goliath, looked around and saw David, he scorned and despised him, for he was but an adolescent or a child. And it says, and the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistines, and now you notice there that says, he cursed David by his gods. Now that's a little g there, so that's not our God. That was his, and of course that's the devil. Any God that's not Jehovah God and his son's name Jesus is the devil and his godly bunch, his team of gods. So the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine. Now here's something. The devil will always speak these things to you. He will speak devastating things that will make you try to step over into the realm of fear. If you step over into the realm of fear, you just lost it. And that's unfortunate that I used to do that. I know many Christians that still do that. But you cannot step into the realm of fear. You must believe God's word. Now, you can't believe something you don't know. So that's why it's important that you hide this word in your heart. Then in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and cut off your head, and I will give the corpses of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Now then, think about that. David was saying the right things. Now then, whenever the spiritual forces of darkness come upon you today as a Christian in sickness and disease, whenever they attacked you, nearly everyone I know is just like I used to be. I mean, you go to a doctor. I mean, you're living in fear. Wow, what is this? I got this tremendous pain in my back, or I got this tremendous problem in my kidneys or my knees or whatever. Oh, it must be cancer, or it must be arthritis or something. Well, when you start talking like that, you're saying the wrong thing. You don't know that Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease on the cross. So what you do, you step over into fear. When you step into fear, you're defeated right there. But you notice David right here, as little of a young man as he was, he did not step into fear. He knew the battle was the Lord's. He knew he was going to win this thing. He knew the Lord was going to win. He knew the Lord would take that stone from that little slingshot that he had, and when he slung that thing around and turned it loose in the right direction, he knew the Lord would direct that stone to any uncovered skin on that man's body, and the only place there was that was uncovered, that was vulnerable, was right between his eyes. Everything else was covered up. Well, David took that one smooth stone, of which he had five, and he come prepared to defeat the whole army. But after he took that one smooth stone and slung it around, and he said, I will lay you out. Today I will cut your head off. He's saying the right things to defeat his enemy. He's saying the Lord will deliver me. And so that's what you have to do if you want to come against the enemy, which is Satan and his demons, in sickness and disease. If you will come against him with the word of the living God, with no fear in your heart, you will beat the enemy every time, and you won't never have to be sick again. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing not to walk in fear, but to walk in total faith. So, of course, David, he slung that stone, and it hit that giant right between the eyes. And sure enough, just like he said, today I will cut your head off and feed you to the birds. And so Goliath fell right at David's feet when he hit him right between the eyes with that slingshot, with that stone. Well, it knocked him out. So David goes over and pulls that big monster's sword out of its holster and literally cut off the head of that Philistine giant and killed him. And, of course, when the army saw that their master or their head defense item there, head defense man, had been defeated by a child, they ran in terror. Now, see, that's exactly what the enemy will do to you today. The enemy, Satan and his host, they will be here to beat up on you. And if you step into fear, they will beat up on you and beat you. And if you stay in faith and no fear and you say the right things, you will drive out those beasts and they will flee from you, because the Lord made you that great and awesome promise. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, he said, "Behold, I give unto you authority to trample on Satan and his demons. All power is given to you over them. They shall in no wise hurt you. Be not thankful that those evil spirits have to be subject unto you, but rather be thankful your name's written in heaven." So with that kind of a promise, who needs anything else? Praise the Lord Jesus. Don't step into the realm of fear, but stay in the realm of faith. I'd like to invite you to call me for tapes, and 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. The Living Savior Church. We're at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle for you. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Father in prayer. Father, we worship you and praise you and thank you that you're our Lord and our God, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our provider, our everything. You are magnificently wonderful, and we praise you and worship you and thank you for the abundance of all things that you've given us. Now, as the word goes out today, Lord, reveal it to your people, both men and women, boys and girls, that they may learn who they are and what they can do so they don't have to walk in fear. Now, Lord, I praise you and thank you for your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, today we're going to talk about some of the things, how to keep you as an adult or as a child. First of all, I'm going to start out in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to talk both about children and adults, how to keep from walking in fear. Now, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is just and right. Honor, esteem, and value as precious your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that all may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now, children, for all the children that are listening, that is a requirement from God's word that you are to honor your mother and your father. You're to obey them when they tell you to do something. You are to obey. You're to honor and show respect. You're to be kind and gentle to your mom and your dad. And if you will obey and do what your mother and dad says, and you're to honor them and respect them, then you won't ever have to worry about fear, because nothing will come upon you. Now, I can only envision what happens when a young person today or any day throughout history has driven their parents to the limit of the breaking point. Now, this should never happen with a parent. A parent should be men and women of God that when they speak, they know that they mean business. You should lay down a set of ground rules for your children, and if your children break those ground rules, whatever they do, you might tell them one time to warn them. And the second time, you take a belt or something and you paddle them, and you do it, or take a little switch off of a tree, but you give them a spanking that they will remember. And this, the Word of God says, the rod of correction shall drive evil far from your children. Now then, if children are going to step into the realm of fear, sometimes if they drive their parents to the breaking point, and parents are not parents that have set down a set of ground rules, they just get louder and louder and louder and louder until finally mom and dad reach their breaking point, and then dad, especially if dad comes at you in some kind of anger situation, then fear can come up on you, and fear can enter you, and it has legal right to, because you stepped over into the realm of fear. Now, you don't want to step in that realm. So, parents, both of you, listen to the Word of God. Set down a set of ground rules. Tell your children what the requirements are when they're little. And then be a man or a woman that will fulfill what you said you would do. In other words, if you tell your children not to do something and they do it, warn them only one time. Tell them the second time there will be a consequence, and a serious consequence. And don't scream, don't raise your voice, just tell them what you're going to do and then do it. And if you will do that and be that kind of parent, it will be easier for you to raise children that honor you and respect you, because they know you mean business. And your children won't ever step into the realm of fear. Because you, when you get angry and start screaming at your children, you can cause your children to step into the area of fear. They can open themselves up for a spirit of fear to come in them, and then that spirit of fear will torment those children all of their life if they don't learn how to get set free. So you must learn from God's Word that when He makes these kind of statements, He means business. Also, He says there that if a child does not obey, it's causing their life to be shortened. Because He said that if you do obey and respect your parents, it will go well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Which means if you do not, it will go the other way, and you will not like the consequences. Because it very clearly will not produce a good life or a long life if you're disrespectful and do not honor your mother and your father. Now, that's the requirements for the children. Now then, for the parents, He tells us what to do to stay away from this fear, because we are to be afraid of the devil if we do something wrong. Now, if we don't do anything wrong, if we walk holy before God, then we don't have to be afraid of anything. In verse 10 of Ephesians 6, He says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. In other words, be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which He boundlessly might provide. In other words, verse 11 says, put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and all the deceits of the devil or the enemy. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. We are not contending only with physical opponents, but against these spiritual wickedness, against the powers, against the master saints who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies, up in the heavenly sphere. Now, I don't think the majority of the church today really has ever envisioned who these fellows are. I know I hadn't. Until I received the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit, I had absolutely no knowledge of who these fellows were. But when I received the baptismal power of the Holy Spirit, then the gifts of the Spirit came upon me, and I began to discern who these wicked spirits are that are tormenting us. And then I begin to learn who my enemy was. In verse 13, the Lord says, therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, stand firmly in your place. Stand, therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth about your loins. What does it mean to tighten the belt of truth? It means to walk in the truth of God's word. Whatever God says to do, he says that you shall know the truth, which is my word, and the truth shall set you free. So, if you'll take God's word, which is truth, and you'll cling to it, and fasten yourself to it, and hold on to it, and it will set you free. So, you must take the truth of God's word, and then you must put on the breastplate of integrity, or the breastplate of righteousness, and morality, and right standing with God. Because, let me tell you, if you're walking righteous before God and holy before him, the devil cannot touch you. He cannot touch you. But if you sin, he certainly can. So that's why the Lord is telling you to walk holy before him so that you don't have to give place to the enemy. That beast will come and attack you anyway. He just loves to do this, just to try to intimidate us as God's children. But if you're walking holy before God, you can tell him where to go with the word of God, and he will have to get away from you. And then he says, and having shod your feet with the preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. In other words, walk in peace. That's what he's trying to tell you and I there. Walk, to put on the gospel shoes of peace, you walk in peace. You're at peace with yourself. You're at peace with the world. And when you do it God's way, no fear can come upon you. Then he says, lift up over all the covering or the shield. Lift up over all the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming missiles or the flaming darts of the wicked one. Now, those demons, they will shoot those flaming, fiery darts at you any way they can. But if you've got this, a shield of faith, the shield of the Word of God, every time the enemy shoots a fiery dart at you, all you got to do is be ready to quote the Word. Now, if you don't have the Word in you, you can't use it. It's not a shield. Unless you have it in you, you've got to know God's word. It's the most important thing you can do, because the shield of faith is God's word. And with God's word, you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. You can beat the devil. Then he says, and take the helmet of salvation. And in other words, that's the first thing you've got to do, is become a born-again Christian. If you're not a born-again Christian, you have absolutely nothing to fight the enemy with. Absolutely nothing. But if once you become a born-again Christian, then you can take the sword that the Spirit wills, which is the Word of God. Now then, the Word of God, again, you must have this Word hidden in your heart. And the best thing to do is have chapter and verse, not just know some of the Word. Have chapter and verse hidden in your heart. So when you pull that sword of the Spirit out, you can say, Satan, it is written. You can do the same thing that Jesus did in Matthew 4. When you pull that sword out, when the devil comes against you, just like he did against Jesus, you say, Satan, it is written. And tell him where. And whatever chapter and verse it is, and then take those promises that guarantee you have authority over him, or that Jesus healed you on the cross, and kick the devil out. Don't let him do it. And then the Lord says, pray at all times, in every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit. So you get into the Spirit, you pray God's word, and you don't ever take no for an answer. You stand in total faith on God's mighty word and watch the enemy flee. Now, I'd like to invite you to call me at 940-242-2106 for audio and video tapes of these teachings and many other teachings. Also like to invite you to our website at www.tlsm.org. There you can get a list of many of our tapes, audios, and videos. We'll be happy to send them to us and to you, and you can contact me there via email. Also, I'd like to invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. If you have a sickness and disease, I'd also like to invite you to our healing schools. We preach and teach a way of walking in divine health. We have two of those a month, the second Saturday and the fourth Saturday of every month. You can go to our website and get maps and times and locations, www.tlsm.org. And you can just come and get healed. We see the Lord heal many people at these healing schools. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I worship you, I praise you, I thank you for this beautiful, magnificent, glorious day that you have made. I thank you for this day of salvation, this day of deliverance, this day of healing. I thank you that you are everything to us, Father, and I'm so grateful that you're my God and my Lord. Now, as the word goes out today, Lord, I ask you to bless it. I ask you to give people revelation and wisdom from your word that they may learn how to walk in great love and not in fear. Lord, I thank you that you delivered us from the spirit of fear, and you've given us the spirit of love, joy, and peace. Now, we worship you and praise you as the word goes out in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now then, yesterday we talked about putting on the full armor of God. Today, to be able to stay free from all these evil spirits, one of the things you need to definitely learn how to do, as we closed yesterday, we said to get into praying in the Spirit. Well, you definitely need to pray, because that is your communication lines to the Father in heaven through the name of Jesus. Now, there's only one way you can come to the Heavenly Father, and that's through the name of Jesus Christ. So don't try to take somebody else's name. Don't use your name or anybody else's name. There's only one name, only one, that you can get to the Father in heaven with, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. So don't try to get there by anybody else's name. It will not get you there. So, in fact, if you try to go there through any other name, the devil will have right to answer your prayer the way he wants to. And you don't really want him to be able to do that to you. So start learning how to pray in the name of Jesus, and also learn how to fast. Now, you can go to Isaiah 58, chapter 58 of Isaiah. It's one of the best chapters in the Word of God about fasting. Now, in Matthew chapter 17, the Lord tells us in the New Testament, even with the power he give us through deliverance, there is some demons we have trouble casting out. And the reason we have trouble casting them out is because we have not prayed and fasted enough. So the disciples, after they had been commissioned by the Lord himself to cast out demons, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead, they had been doing that, and then they run upon a demon that intimidated them, and they could not cast him out. After the Lord cast him out, they said, Lord, why could we not cast him out? And the Lord clearly said, because of your unbelief. And he said, this kind comes out only by prayer and fasting. Now, that could mean the unbelief or the demon, or both. But the thing about it is, anyway, whichever one he's talking about there, make sure that you pray and fast often. If you're not living a fasted life, then you need to start. And if you're not fasting once in a while, if you want to have power with God, you need to do that. Study the Word. Go on a fast. Pray. Praise and worship the King. And if you will read Isaiah 58, it's got some very good information about prayer and fasting and what it will do. But all through the New Testament, there's many things about fasting and praying also. And then another thing you need to do to stay free from the forces of darkness is meditate on the Word day and night. Every time... You know, I start to say every time you have a chance. No, that the devil will see to it that you don't have a chance to meditate on the Word. You have to make time to meditate on the Word. But if you'll make time to meditate on God's Word, he will give you great and mighty and wonderful revelation from his Word. Now then, one of the things you must do is you must forgive everyone that has any kind of anything, any unforgiveness you have toward anyone for anything. It does not make any difference what they've done to you. You must walk holy and in forgiveness before God. You must renounce all covetousness, you know, and you must be content with such things as you have. The Lord tells you to do that. So don't get into covetousness if you want to stay free from all these demons. And you must recognize that fear is a master force under the law of sin and death. Because if when you begin to understand the spirit world, you will begin to understand that fear is absolutely a personality. And it is a master force under the law of sin and death. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 2 talks about the law of sin and death. And it's unfortunate that too many people walk there. But you want to be free and live under the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which is also talked about there in Romans 8. And you must recognize that faith is a master force that operates under the spirit of life in Christ. Now then, also, since it is a master force of faith, faith works only by love. Now then, the enemy knows that too. And of course, that's written clearly for you in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. If you don't walk in love, your faith will not work. Now, you can say anything you want to say. You can do anything you want to do. But if you're not walking in love toward all people, your faith will not work. So make sure that you're rid of all those things and all of your sins have been confessed and you're walking in love toward God, toward your neighbor, and toward yourself. You must do that if you want to see your faith work really well so that you can help others. Now then, if you will do what the Lord says, you will be able to pray for people. You'll be able to see the Lord do great and mighty works in your life and in the life of others. All you will have to do is just pray in faith. Walk in love, then you can pray in faith. Now then, talking about love, in 1 John 4, the Word of God says there is no fear in love. In other words, if it says that perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now then, if you walk in love, total love, you will not have to worry or even be concerned about living in the realm of fear. Walk in love, because perfect love casts out fear. And see, there's another one of those cases where you have to cast out demons. When the Lord says, and these signs shall follow those that believe in Mark 16:17, he said, and we shall cast out devils or demons. Now, how do we do that? One of the ways you cast out demons is get people to walk in obedience to God's word. When they walk in obedience to God's word, you get them set free from the forces of darkness. Now, Satan and his host of demons cannot stay when you're walking in love. If you're walking in love and praising and worshiping the Lord, that will drive away the forces of darkness. They will not be able to stay. Now then, so many people are like I used to be years ago. I mean, I listened to country and Western music and, you know, some of them old Somebody Done Somebody Wrong songs. I listened to those things and I'd come home and watch the news, or I'd watch some kind of program on TV. I didn't really watch any real, what I consider bad stuff even today. But it certainly wasn't anything that trained me about God's Word. It was just idle things. It was meaningless. It had no power or nothing. But that's what the enemy wants me to do, is to waste my life. But in Philippians chapter 4, the Lord tells us something to do here in Philippians 4. Starting with verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, and if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, if you really want to walk in faith, and you want to see the Lord do some wonderful things, you begin to do what Philippians 4 tells you to do in verses 6 and 8, and walk in total love, meditating on all these good things the Lord told you to meditate on. And then, if you'll start doing that, then he made you some promises many places in the Word of God. He says, call on the name of the Lord. I mean, call upon the name of the Lord, and he will answer your prayers and do great and mighty things for you. I mean, it's just amazing what will happen when you start walking in love and meditating on the Word of God. Now remember that if you were to go through any kind of a trauma or an event which caused the original entry point of the fear that came upon your life, you must allow God's healing love to deal with that situation and to heal your memories. If any unforgiveness is needed on your part, you must make sure you have forgiven the person concerned and pray for a blessing for that person. I know that is very difficult to do, but if you want to get set free, if you have fear, if there's any kind of fear in your life, and I know many people today that is bound by fear or anger and rage, you must make sure that you go back and look at that event in your life and any kind of devastating event. I mean, it could have been a young girl raped by a person. It could have been a young man. Somebody attacked him as a young boy and threatened to do physical damage to him. It could have been any number of things that opened the door to these spirits of fear and anger and rage to come into your physical body, because they can't come in without legal right. And so Proverbs 26:2 says, no curse comes upon you undeserved. So there's got to be something that give that beast legal right. Well, you need to go back and find out what that was, who that was. You need to forgive that person. You need to ask God to forgive that person. And then you need to pray for a blessing to come upon that person. Now, I realize that will be difficult. But if you will do it, and you'll pray those prayers, and you'll believe in your heart that God will do a great and mighty work for you and for that person, if you will cry out to God, and if you will, if you'll call, ask God to deliver you, and if you feel anything within you, then cough it up. Command it to come out of you in the name of Jesus, because what it is a demon trying to get out. So stand firm in your belief of God's word. Absolutely kick them devils out, and don't let them things torment you all of your life. So repent, command the Satan and his host of demons of fear to leave you, and then ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and walk in obedience to his word, and walk in victory, because you're a child of the King. Praise the Lord. I invite you to call me at 940-242-2106 for video, audio tapes, teaching tapes. Also like to invite you to our healing school. We have a healing school the second and the fourth Saturday of every month. You can find the locations and the times on our website at www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. We have many people come to these healing schools from all over the country. They learn how to walk in divine health, and we praise the Lord for this. Also, we have a church service at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Sunday afternoon in Dallas. So praise the Lord Jesus.